InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Country anywhere in the world. It's true. The hottest country anywhere in the world. Think of that. In four long years of the Biden administration, there were just $1 trillion of new investments in the United States in 10 months. We've secured commitments of over $18 trillion. So they had, in 1 year, less than $1 trillion. That's in a period of 4 years. Think of it. 4 years, they had less than a trillion. In 10 months, we have more than $18 trillion. Is that right, Scott? It's even going to be higher than that.
It'll be higher, but...
And going up. And we're waiting for the Supreme Court case, and it's so important and so vital for this country because we're not only respected again, we're putting out wars by our trade policies, and we're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars, and our country is wealthy again and secure again, and it's part of national security, and I hope that goes... Well, I think it's very important, but think of the number. We're going to be over $18 trillion in 10 months, and which is a record times probably 8 or 10 times, I think more than that, for any country. There's never been a country that's had that kind of an investment ever in history. And there's never been a country that's had half of that. It's a tremendous thing that's taking place. We have... companies moving in from all over the world, from Mexico, from Canada, from Europe, from China, from Japan a lot. We just had Toyota is going to spend $10 billion, they just announced, on building new plants in this country. Our workers, they're going to be our workers.
But that's the ongoing cabinet meeting he's having. And I just noticed as we were going live, he was talking about how great the economy is. And cheerleading American business, which is important to get foreign investment into the country. But for the average American, he told them, oh, I'll be able to cut inflation back overnight. And I said, that's a campaign promise. He's not going to be able to do that very quickly. They can slow it and get a lot of new jobs and get pay up, which will balance out, which is the policy. It's either that policy or stagflation, depression with inflation, which is the Great Reset, which is what the globalists want. So instead of explaining that to people, he just gets up and says, we have the best economy ever, best economy in the world. We do have the best economy in the world, but that's the best house in a bad neighborhood. Now, Americans know that inflation is still really, really bad. Sure, he got energy way down. That was a big one. But he really should stop telling people, and I've had Rasmussen pollsters on who are the best, everybody. This is what pisses people off. And when I criticize Trump, it's to get him to course correct, which they're doing more and more. But man, he just loves to talk about the $18 trillion committed and the $6, $7, $8 trillion that's already now being invested. And that's going to be great in a year or so. But it's not here yet. Yeah, they're building these factories, chip factories, car factories, stuff everywhere. It's definitely coming back. Trump vowed to end inflation. His voters are growing impatient. Yeah, big time. People are ordering smaller pizzas and fewer toppings. What does that tell us? American consumers lose patience with high car prices. It goes on and on. All right, big broadcast today. Trump is making a 1 p.m. announcement that we'll carry live. Might be Venezuela hits. We now know that he gave Maduro... A few weeks ago, up until last Friday to leave, Maduro hasn't left. I believe this is not a bluff. I believe the United States is about to hit Venezuela. And the president has a right to do it. I understand why he's doing it, but I don't know if it's the smartest idea because of how he can be set up by the CIA with the Bay of Pigs 2.0. But look at that. Putin has now threatening total war if Europe doesn't take the peace deal. And so much more today. Nick Fuentes joins us in the third and fourth hour. Stay with us. Massive news, 60 seconds away. Share the live feeds now at Real Talk Shows on X.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
December 2nd, 2025. Thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Alex Jones. Nick Fuentes, very controversial individual, will be joining me in the third and fourth hour today to discuss and debate different world events and how he sees the midterms coming up, his analysis of the Trump administration, his take on the fact that Israel and its undue influence in the United States is now one of the major front burner issues. We will talk about a lot with Nick coming up in the third and fourth hour. And you saw the big controversy when Tucker a month ago interviewed him and folks trying to cancel Tucker. You can't have the left saying Christians, Catholics, and whites are inherently evil and bad. And I've got big compilations here of that. You've all seen it everywhere. And then when somebody turns around and says, fine, I'll be race-based back against you, and then say they're the devil. It is the globalists, it is the universities, it is the left that created this climate. And Nick Fuentes is mild compared to where a lot of people are going. This has all been part of the divide and conquer strategy. So that's coming up in the third and fourth hour today. In the meantime, we've got a lot to cover. Now, Trump always said he would move against national security threats to the United States. And I do believe that the United States is getting ready to hit Venezuela. Trump, it now came out yesterday, has gave Maduro last week until Friday to leave. He didn't leave. Now Maduro is saying, we'll put the live show headline up if we can, that he's defiantly not going to leave and is going to, quote, outlast Trump. Venezuelan dictator Maduro vows to stay and fight as imminent war looms. Meanwhile, Putin warns NATO he is ready for all-out war as deep state accelerates color revolution against Trump. Plus, Nick Fuentes live at 1 p.m. Central. Must watch, share at Infowars.com/show. Band up any other live feed on Rumble. Get the Infowars live feed. And, of course, on X, Real Alex Jones. Be sure to follow us there. A lot of really good questions got asked at the Pentagon today by Jack Posobiec, by Brianna Morello, our reporter, and others. We've got a lot of that coming up. Part of the color revolution is falsely claiming that Hegseth is a war criminal and that blowing up those drug boats is illegal. And, of course, it's not. But that's all part and parcel of this. We also reported this last week, but now it's mainstream news. The Pentagon confirmed this morning that hundreds of U.S. Special Forces and crews of helicopters have been in Somalia for weeks, taking out the main terror group there that's threatening to take the whole country and then launch more attacks on shipping, as they've done thousands of times. And so, again, that's similar to what Thomas Jefferson did. It's not similar. It's completely identical, except we use helicopters and not ships. When he fought the Somalis, when the Marines fought these very groups, the Barbary Wars. So people say, oh, this is expansionist, this is warlike. No, this is national sovereignty issues. This is completely different than the neocons. He's trying to end the big wars with Russia and China and stop that, try to secure our hemisphere from the Democrat piggy bank and election fraud center that's Venezuela, and he's trying to cut off the different terror groups. And it's a two-pronged attack. They've already discovered billions in fraud in just the last few years, the last 4 years, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, the main Somali capital of the world now. And it turns out they're sending billions of dollars back to the main terror group in Somalia for the weapons they've been getting, including anti-aircraft guns, surface-to-air missiles, artillery, you name it. And then they are, again, trying to take full control of Somalia. They're also funding and supporting other Islamic terror groups in Africa. So part of cutting off the supply chain down into Central Africa and Western Africa is taking them out. And I support it. But at the same time, you have a pincer attack where Trump's hitting the Somalis in Minnesota who literally openly say, we're not Americans. We hate this country. We're really Somalis. We're going to send all of our money back to Somalia. There are some Somalis that are great people. I'm not saying they're all bad, but in general, it is a criminal, piratical slave culture where slavery and piracy are the two main businesses. And you see the Somalis saying, we're going to rape, we're going to kill, we're going to steal. It's what we do. So you have some Somalis that have bucked the culture, but for over 1,000 years, the Somalis have been slavers and pirates. That's the business. You know, people in Nebraska grow corn is the main thing. Texas, you think of beef and NASA. You think of, Maine as cranberries. You think of stuff like that. Well, Somalia is literally nothing but desert and a criminal society. So let's play these two clips back to back. U.S. War Department on troops conducting raids in Somalia. And then we'll dovetail that with local news on the Somalis and all of the mass corruption that the police chief admitted was happening. And then now they're calling him evil and bad. No, it's just a fact. You know, over 80% of the military-age males that have come into Europe, it's the same number. Some countries are up to 90. They never get a job. They either wear track suits or the nightgowns that they wear. Their women wear the beekeeper outfits. And they just create no-go zones and just sit around on welfare and then deal drugs and run sex slavery because we're kafirs or infidels. And so they're allowed to sell us drugs, put us in sex slavery, because we're subhuman. You mean to play a bunch of their newscasts, national Islamic TV around the world saying that? I mean, that's what's going on. But they don't allow the jihadis in Saudi Arabia or Jordan or Egypt. No, they're exported here by the leftist NGOs to further destabilize the country. And it's a real shame because the Middle East, until the rise of Muhammad 1,400 years ago, had some of the greatest science, greatest art, greatest architecture, culture. I mean, it was at the top. Just leaps and bounds. And as soon as Rome fell, the Middle East was becoming dominant just through culture and science. And then in comes Muhammad and wrecks it all. Absolutely wrecks it. And then the inbreeding starts, and the low IQs, and the deformities, and all the rest of it. And the Arabic Muslims went and sacked all the other kingdoms around them, where the people looked just like them, but they were cultured. And that's what's so sad about it. They destroyed it. And that's the reality. Now, I've got a lot of news, obviously, here, but just let me hit the Somali thing real quick. Then I'm going to go into the ongoing color revolution that finally the public gets. Finally, the White House has got all its messengers out with. Finally, this is a breath of fresh air. This is so good. Because if you expose why all this bad stuff's happening, and the rioting and the attacks on ICE and where the plan's going, it's checkmate. Instead of arguing each event, each attack, and having a debate with them about that, just go right to their own plans for total destabilization. I've harped on it. I've beat a dead horse for a reason. Now it's everywhere. And not just White House folks, not just the Pentagon, not just the FBI. It's now all of these just regular Americans talking about it very eloquently. I saw a clip of a lady I've seen before who just nails it in 3.5 minutes. That's coming up. But first, I mentioned Somalia. So here's part of the briefing today. Again, a pincer attack, taking out the funding in Seattle, Minneapolis, St. Paul, some of the other Somali areas, like Houston. And they are just raiding and raiding. Thousands of Somalis have been, who are here, who are given just blanket amnesty, but still aren't naturalized, are being deported. Thousands the last few weeks. And so again, ICE has had time to ramp up now, and so the left is in full panic mode. And Nick Fuentes, who was critical of Trump, you know, the first 6-7 months of the administration, because it was lower deportation than it was previously, that's because they dismantled all. He now admits, no, they've actually super ramped it up. And it's crazy. He sees it in Chicago all the time. So more than 100 American operators arrived in MH-60 helicopters with MQ-9 Reapers overhead, striking K positions held by about 10 to 15 ISIS fighters in the Bak UG and Mariro areas of the Cal Miskad Range, PCT, pushed in with roughly 200 troops after several days of U.S. airstrikes that had already killed multiple militants. The raid triggered 2 to 4 hours of close quarters clashes inside fortified caves, including engagements with foreign fighters from Syria, Turkey, and Ethiopia. By sunrise, U.S. and PCTF forces have withdrawn with no reported American casualties. So what's happening is they're organizing a new caliphate in Somalia, like they did in Afghanistan, everywhere else. Hell, they got one now in Syria and here. But the message is, stand down or we're going to kill you. So the jihadis that have stood down, they're not getting killed. But in Somalia, they've been launching attacks on the aid workers and the UN people and all the rest of it. So Trump went in there. You can say that violates his promise of no big wars. He's ended a lot of the big wars. He's trying to end the big one in Ukraine. No, Trump always promised these police actions. So he's not going back on his promise. Now here's the clips.
Hundreds of U.S. troops into fortified caves in Somalia to kill like 5 guys. And I think it's a good question as to why the U.S. military is still in Somalia.
Thank you for the question. So I can assure you, right, this is an America First Department of War and president. So we aren't conducting forever wars in Somalia. We're not seeking regime change or, you know, we're not nation building. But I will say that this department's narrowly scoped intelligence-driven counterterrorism operations in places like Somalia alongside our partners allow us to protect the American homeland from terrorist threats and to protect our interests. So we will continue to make sure that the American people are kept safe. That's our utmost priority. But, you know, we're not isolationists. We're also not neocons. We're realists. We understand that threats face the American people every single day. We take that incredibly seriously. But at the same time, we're always going to make sure that we're putting America first.
And if could some of the money stolen in one of Minnesota's fraud cases have gone to a terrorist group? That's what the federal government is now investigating. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent blames Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and the Biden administration, saying they are investigating allegations that hardworking Minnesotans' tax dollars may have been diverted to the terrorist organization Al-Shabaab. Republican members of the Minnesota delegation called on the U.S. attorney to investigate those allegations late last month. President Donald Trump has repeatedly blamed Governor Walz and Minnesota's Somali community for fraud and crimes in the state.
Well, the numbers are out. It's $2 billion the last 5 years, 4.5 years, sent into Somalia. And they've gone and tracked it. And, of course, that's what's happening. Now, I want to get into big picture stuff. Putin abandons Maduro, urges his citizens to leave Venezuela. That tells you it's going down. Trump gave Maduro a last Friday deadline to step down as Venezuelan president. He now is saying he's not leaving. Venezuela's Maduro lost two more allies in South America. So the writing's on the wall. Meanwhile, they're running full court press that Hegseth said there's a war criminal. We'll look at different angles of this coming up. But first, I want to talk about color revolution. That's how the CIA, that's how communist groups overthrow countries. It's a slow-rolling revolution of outside forces manipulating internal forces. And the good news is, I know you've heard about this a million times. You knew this even before you tuned into my show, most of you. But the point is, we're in one. And so raising the alarm about where we are and that the left is trying all this to collapse the country with Cloward and Piven and then make it look like a race-based uprising as the cover for a overthrow of the government, the elected government. And so the good news is, I know you see it everywhere because you're out there scanning like I am seeing 100 times the awareness of this just from a month ago. And people on the street are coming up to me about it. I mean, calls from Congress, the White House about it. All these White House spokespersons and the deputy chief of staff are all talking about it. The Pentagon's talking about it. That's good. Just get out front and say the Democrats are trying to trigger all this. They've been calling for violence against the Border Patrol and ICE and the National Guard. And they want to sit back and act like, oh, gee, oh, we're afraid the National Guard is going to kill somebody as they try to instigate all this. So it's all part of the plan. We have their ass. It's predictive programming. That's what the movie Civil War and one battle after another is. And so it is beyond key to put that front and center. Let's go ahead and roll this lady. I thought did a really great job. April Sparks. We should get her on as a guest. I've seen her before. She's really smart. If I remember correctly, I think she used to be a liberal, too. You know, that's what's got to scare these folks is some of these liberals aren't dumb, but they were kind of brought up in it in Stockholm syndrome and didn't get the perspective. And then once they shift and see it, they are extremely actually intelligent once they get out of the trance. So here she is.
You've now probably heard political experts over and over refer to the fact that what we're witnessing is a color revolution. And they're right. And let me explain why. A color revolution is a communist globalist playbook to take over a country without tanks actually rolling down Main Street. It's how they flipped places like Serbia, Georgia, Ukraine, and they tried to flip a dozen others. The same exact playbook every single time. This is how they do it. One, they demonize the leader of the people who they actually voted for. Two, they flood the country with chaos like riots, open borders, economic pain. Three, they weaponize the courts, the media, and big tech to finish him off. And four, they install a puppet who sells the country out to China and the UN. And that's not theory, that's the manual. They opened it on us in the United States the day Donald Trump won in 2016. And here's how they ran it on us step by step. From 2016 to 2020, they gave us the Russia collusion hoax, FBI spying, two fake impeachments, Antifa burning cities while CNN called it fiery but mostly peaceful, and the goal was to make you hate the guy you voted for. In 2020, we had 2 a.m. ballot dumps, boarded up windows, 51 Intel agents lying about Hunter's laptop, Zuckerberg dropping $400 million to help count votes in Democrat cities. And the goal there was to steal the election while calling you a conspiracy theorist for noticing. From 2021 to 2024, we had Joe Biden opening the border on day one, 12 million plus illegals, military age men from China and Venezuela and all over the world, free flights, free hotels, free EBT cards, all on your dime. Cities collapse, crime explodes, schools and hospitals break. The goal, to make Americans feel like strangers in their own country. Then from 2021 to 2025, 91 felony charges, Mar-a-Lago raided, gag orders, mug shots. They didn't want to just beat Trump. They wanted to break him and every future patriot who dares to run. Look at what they did to Charlie Kirk. That is a textbook color revolution. But on November 5th, 2024, the American people looked this Marxist coup dead in the eye and said, not today. 312 electoral votes, popular vote landslide, the biggest Hispanic and black Republican turnout ever. We pulled off the greatest peaceful counter-revolution in world history. But the deep state isn't done. The same snakes who funded BLM riots, Ukraine coup, and Arab Spring still sit in the FBI, CIA, big tech, and the universities. They'll try again in 2026 or in 2028, but now you know the game. Every time you see another mostly peaceful riot, sudden experts all using the same scripted words, a new crisis 2 weeks before an election, you're watching the Color Revolution playbook live on American soil. Never forget what they tried to do to us. Back mass deportations. If we have no border, we have no country. Protect every America First fighter willing to swing the axe on the swamp. Teach your kids the truth. Communism didn't die in 1991. It just dyed its hair purple and moved to Washington. This is still the United States of America. We are still the home of the brave, and the brave do not bow to color revolutions. Recognize what is happening. Stare it in the face, speak out against it, and then we finish taking our country back, one closed border, one drained swamp, and one restored republic at a time. We need to support our president in taking all necessary measures to do just that. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
And I'm pronouncing it right. It's Katie Passé. I've seen a lot of her stuff that was reposted on April Sparks. I want to get her on. I mean, she is so smart. She just said in 3.5 minutes what takes me an hour to say. That is a hole-in-one, 100% nailed it. Amazing. It gives me chills. And I'm seeing so many people like her. Black, brown, white, you name it. It just makes my heart just swell with joy. Because once the public gets it, you globalists are so screwed, they're getting it real fast. And they're not even getting what I'm telling them. Once they figure out how it works, they see it themselves. We're not giving people fish, we're teaching them how to fish. Woo! I got a bunch of other clips of similar people just nailing it, nailing it, nailing it, nailing it, nailing it, nailing it. Let's put her account up, her actual account, so people can find it. But I want her on, by the way. Just amazing. There you go, Defender of the Republic. Absolutely amazing. Real Defender 45. And absolutely, Trump's got problems. He's not perfect, but he's light years better than the globalists. He's day and night, and they're trying to take him down because we elected him. And, folks, if you don't overall support him and ending the carbon taxes and getting us out of the Paris Accords, that alone would kill millions of people, and securing the border and trying to stop the wars and all of it, you're crazy. And cutting the funding of men and women's sports, it just goes on and on. And $18 trillion investment confirmed, $8 trillion or so already in. Trump is doing a badass job with what he's got. And people go, well, wait, but you're also very critical. Yeah, I'm critical of myself. I'm critical when I make mistakes of me. I'm critical of the crew when I see them make mistakes. I tell them when they see me making a mistake, tell me what they think. People need to get thick skins. We need to get out of this political correctness. It's not just liberal political correctness, but this general society of not talking to each other, not wargaming things. But I got to tell you, there is such a giant new generation. And I don't just mean the young people. I see old people, 75, 80-something that have never been on the internet coming out with their wisdom. I see people that are middle-aged. I see so many black people and Hispanics and Asians just knocking it out of the park. Knocking it out of the park. And white people, everybody. I mean, this is exciting. I'm the big tent guy. So we'll discuss that with Nick Fuentes coming up. All right, tons of news. Hank Seth just made an incredible statement. We'll play when we come back. Stay with us.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by millionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months. However you said it. And then you just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Undermining Trump and all of his legal actions with the border, with the wars, with the tariffs, with the economy. We're still waiting for the Supreme Court ruling on the tariffs. It's all about saying Trump's illegitimate. But in 99% of the court rulings, they've had to say, no, it's all cut and dry. And I get constitutional lawyers on. I check it myself. Everything he's been doing has been 100% constitutional and his duty. Other than statements like, maybe I'll ship American gangbangers and violent criminals to El Salvador. You can't ship citizens to some devil's island. And so when Trump sometimes floats these horrible ideas, I'm like, eh. And the left grabs that and says, Jones just turned on Trump. No, I didn't. But I'm not going to sit here if Trump does something that's unconstitutional and agree with it. I just want listeners to know that. But overall, he's doing a fabulous job. So now they're coming for Hegseth, and Hegseth was very clear days ago. He said, listen, when we drop Hellfire missiles on you, it's to kill you. I didn't have to call back and give the order. The order was to kill everyone, and so when we didn't kill everybody, two were left, they bombed them again. And they're like, oh, well, they have one Republican senator who's in a bunch of trouble and a whole bunch of criminal stuff going on, saying, well, maybe this is illegal. Oh, maybe Trump's giving illegal orders. Maybe, maybe. It's all about undermining. Because the Democrats do not want their piggy bank, Venezuela, that's the senior partner to the drug cartels and the CIA in the past being taken out. And Trump's like, nope, we're not leaving Maduro's people in. We're not taking your gold and oil. We don't want that. We want you gone. Washington Post botched Hegseth hit job proves the Pentagon desperately needs new media. And the Pentagon's got it. Pentagon's brought in the real independent media. They're asking real questions. But, you know, when you see something out of the Washington Post or New York Times, you got to take a big grain of salt with it. But they know the general public doesn't understand military affairs or military law. And so they just say, oh, ICE is doing illegal stuff. The Border Patrol, the National Guard, the illegal. No, it's not. Oh, you're not allowed to blow people up. They're lying. And they go, well, they don't know they're that. No, they follow them from the drug bases. They're listening to their communications. They're tracking them. They know the boats. They've watched the boats before deliver drugs. They do a whole intelligence thing first. Then they watch the boat go back. And then the next time the boat comes out, bye-bye. Bye-bye. So Hegseth, during the cabinet meeting a few minutes ago, had the baton handed to him by Trump. This is what he had to say.
And then if you want, we'll take some questions at the end. Please, Pete.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. As you said, it has been a historic year at the Department of War. Recruiting and retention over this year are at the most historic levels our country has ever seen. I had a chance to be on a aircraft carrier destroyer over Thanksgiving. The spirit in our ranks since the election under President Trump is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it as a soldier myself in uniform, and I know a lot of you feel the same way. We've ripped out the DEI and the political correctness. It's all merit-based at the department. We're getting back to basics, accountability, training, readiness, lethality, and that's reviving that spirit. And Mr. President, we're rebuilding the military historic investments. I just took briefings on the Golden Dome and F-47, next-generation capabilities that are going to make sure that for generations to come, America has the most powerful, most capable, most lethal military in the world, which you have rebuilt once, and we're rebuilding again. And then we're reestablishing deterrence and credibility. If you look at what happened, we deal with every day the outcome of what happened in Afghanistan, the debacle under Joe Biden. We just dealt with it in the streets of Washington, D.C., with those two National Guardsmen. And then what happened on October 7th with Hamas, what happened in Ukraine, a war that never would have started under President Trump, we're having to rebuild that. So whether it's freedom of navigation and taking the fight to the Houthis, whether it's Midnight Hammer, those beautiful B-2s going 37 hours back and forth, undetected, delivering with precision, and Iran not getting nuclear capabilities, Europe and NATO stepping up to 5%, locking down our southwest border. It's been an honor to work with Christie and Tom and everyone else down there to lock it to zero, operational control of our border. And then it's getting after and going after narco-terrorists and designated terrorist organizations in our own hemisphere. As I've said, and I'll say again, we've only just begun striking narco boats and putting narco-terrorists at the bottom of the ocean because they've been poisoning the American people. And Joe Biden tried to approach it with kid gloves and allowed them to come across the border. Cartels take over community, 20 million people, hundreds of thousands of Americans poisoned. And President Trump said, no, we're taking the gloves off. We're taking the fight to these designated terror organizations. And it's exactly what we're doing. So we're stopping the drugs. We're striking the boats. We're defeating narco-terrorists. And we're standing...
And you may say one thing, that drugs coming in through the sea by sea are down 91%. And I don't know who the 9% is.
I'm not sure either, sir.
But down 91% by sea.
We've had a bit of a pause because it's hard to find boats to strike right now. Which is the entire point, right? Deterrence has to matter, not arrest and hand over and then do it again. The rinse and repeat approach of previous administrations. This is meant to get after that approach. And I will just end by saying, as President Trump always has our back, we always have the back of our commanders, who are making decisions in difficult situations, and we do in this case and all these strikes. They're making judgment calls and ensuring that they defend the American people. They've done the right things. We'll keep doing that, and we have their backs, Mr. President.
Good job. Thank you very much.
Howard?
So We set out to stop the ripoff of the United States of America. This is about global change of trade. We've been ripped off since 1945 when we set this policy.
Let's watch a little more of this.
Together with my partners, Jameson Greer and Scott Bessent, we set out to change that. So we started, the first one was the UK deal, right? We asymmetric, they pay us 10%. And we get charged nothing. That allows us to export, and that began the process. Then we did the biggest, the European Union. 450 million people, $20 trillion economy. They completely open their borders to us, and we charge them 15%. That makes America $100 billion a year and turns it back to where our economy is the best. And so it proved that President Trump's trade agenda was the right trade agenda. Then we go to Japan and Korea. They offer us $750 billion in cash to build in America at the president's direction. And we're going to start as an example, nuclear, right? We need to have a nuclear arsenal in America of power, the generation of power.
So we don't need coal power, suddenly claim. Produces water, carbon dioxide.
The Japanese and
terrible idea.
Meaning they give us the money, we build it here, and we split the cash.
Right, Trump interrupts and says we need coal. He's been countermanding this crap.
$150 billion worth of ships.
Lending has literally got Bill Gates.
Changes the way things work.
Pulling strings.
Right? After those trade deals, then you go to how are we going to reshore? Right, let's start.
By the way, they're reopening Three Mile Island. Right, one of the worst nuclear reactors we got. It's like 50 years old. This is crap.
The Japanese, the Europeans, we're kicking our tail.
And again, I know it's a right wing thing to love nuclear. Yeah, magically run right, it's not a problem. It's never run right.
General Motors stock up 40%. Ford up 34%. And on the same day that we announced we had set all the tariffs, Sean Fain, the head of the United Auto Workers, called and said, I can't believe I'm calling a Republican Secretary of Commerce to tell the president that this is the greatest administration for auto workers in America. Stocks up and auto workers.
Let's stop there. All that's true. 18 plus trillion committed, 8 trillion already in. Factories are getting built everywhere. I was flying into Austin a few weeks ago and looking out the window, it was just gigantic factories being built everywhere. Half of them, Elon Musk. Elon Musk factory right next door to us. I mean, it's insane. So, by the way, they're there 24 hours a day building stuff. I'm not going to say what they're building. People figure out what's where we're at. But the point is that they just built all these gigantic warehouses last year, and now it's all Elon Musk stuff. Doesn't say Tesla on the door, though. I'll leave it at that. But whatever reason. But you hear Lutnick there, and he's like, the stock market. Yeah, for boomers and people like that, that's great. For young people, they don't translate that into jobs, though it really does translate into jobs. It just takes 6 months a year. They see prices. And so Trump needs to explain, hey, we were inherited a big disaster. Eggs are down. This is down. That's down. I'm moving in to break up the monopoly over beef packing. That's a great thing he's doing. He's making all the right moves. It just takes time. And I understand stuff's still too expensive. Just give me time. Not everything's great. The economy's great. Everyone's wonderful. Yeah, that's great cheerleading to get foreign investment here. But the public sees that and hears that and says, that's not what I'm seeing. People want to be straight shot. The number one thing in the polls people are pissed about is Trump says we fixed inflation. You slowed it, and on energy, you cut it massively. So, yeah, you very good start, but not fixed. It'd be like if your kid's room was a giant disaster and a mess because they, you know, had a birthday party or something. You should clean it up. You come back 2 hours later, and it's like half cleaned up. There's still stuff everywhere, and they go, I cleaned it. And you're like, no, you didn't. And we don't expect Trump to do everything himself, but we've had globalists with trade deals and the setup to deindustrialize us for control. We know that. So he is reversing it. But it's biting us in the butt. All this talk about how it's all fixed. No, it's not. And if people in the polls, and I already know this myself, I don't need to read a poll, but the complex polls, Rasmussen and others do, what would you like to hear? We'd like to hear what's really going on. We'd like to hear what the plan is. Not, it's all fine. That's not a plan. That's bull.
Lednig and them have this old school thing, just hype the economy, say it's all great. And that has some effect, yeah, but need to be honest. Now, I want to get into the globalists and what they're up to in the Great Reset, how they plan to bring this back, some of the amazing things RFK Jr. is doing. I want to hit Putin with an olive branch saying, fine, go ahead and take over Venezuela, that's in your hemisphere. But if NATO refuses this peace deal, we're ready for total war, because NATO said they want total war. That's coming up. But first, InfoWars reporter Brianna Morello, just an hour and a half ago, asked Pentagon press secretary about Afghan migrants' attacks on U.S. military bases. Yeah, those have happened before, overseas and here. You don't really hear about them, though. The media tries to keep it under wraps. Here's our reporter asking the question this morning.
Yes. Thank you, Kinsley. A question for you in regards to the Afghan withdrawal. When we brought all these migrants onto military bases, or these refugees onto military bases, we saw a surge in assaults immediately after, sexual assaults and physical assaults. And then all of a sudden, under the previous administration, we no longer learned of anything that was happening anymore on these military bases. Does this Pentagon plan on giving us some type of criminal data on that to see what actually happened when they were brought onto these military bases? And do we have any status updates on, like, FBI investigations and such?
So for FBI investigations, anything that would be a criminal law enforcement matter would obviously be something to direct to the Department of Justice, as we cannot speak to that from our perch here at the Department of War. But what I can tell you is that we are aware of a lot of that activity that went on. It's despicable. One is too many, right? And we understand that the Biden administration, unfortunately, put our troops and our country last in many cases. The secretary is committed to correcting that. And I think that's what you're going to see going forward. Yes.
All right. So that was,
thank you.
Host of this show, host of the American Journal, Brandon Morello, asking a question to the Pentagon spokesperson. You know, there are a couple times where I felt like interrupting right there, but honestly, it was interesting, and the questions being asked are good. And really what we're witnessing here is a real sea change. It's like I'm dreaming or something. So you've got a Pentagon press briefing, but I recognize half the people there. I saw Savannah Hernandez. I saw Brandon Morello, Laura Loomer, James O'Keefe is there, somebody from Real America's Voice, somebody from Gateway Pundit, somebody from InfoWars, of course, Brandon Morello, or, you know, ex-InfoWars TPUSA representative, Savannah Hernandez. This is crazy. This is awesome. And they're asking good questions. And I was going back and looking up some transcripts from other, you know, Pentagon briefings where the AP is asking questions. And half the time it would literally descend into like a shouting match as they're like, so you're not going to be sending food to this place? And just like, just causing outrage, causing dissension. Again, here we actually get pertinent questions about what the intentions of the Trump administration are. You know, the Pentagon's going to be, you know, she's got her talking points, and she sort of returns to, you know, the prefabricated statements. You know, I don't expect her to be all that transparent. But the fact that we have independent reporters in there, uncontrolled, not mainstream media reporters in there, InfoWars reporters in there, is just absolutely mind-blowing and incredible. And they're asking very good questions. And, you know, the only thing I'd say I'm a little disappointed in from the Pentagon right now is, again, talking about treason and sedition of people like Mark Kelly, as if they can't do anything about it, as if they just have to let it continue and hope everybody else is as outraged as they are. Like, isn't Mark Kelly in the military? Can't you court-martial him? Why are you telling us he's treasonous? This is nonsense. We'll go back to this on the other side. This is fascinating.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Yeah, Brianna yesterday and today, and I just got busy. I should have done it. She wanted me to give her questions, and I just didn't. I just got busy and didn't give it to her. I would have asked. Her question was good. I would have asked. So is the Pentagon aware of the John Podesta Democrat plan for a civil war and to break up the country and have Western states secede? So I really dropped the ball not having her ask that question. I hope she's back up there some next week. But even if the Pentagon spokesperson isn't aware of that, just that going out will create a huge debate and a huge discovery of it. So I dropped the ball. She asked me yesterday, I said, let me think about it. She called me from D.C. And then this morning I was going to send it, and I got busy dealing with stuff around here and got distracted. But it's okay. Live to fight another day. All right. I want to get into MTG leads charge to prosecute Fauci after Biden auto pen pardons nullified. And that ties into RFK Jr. set to ban a whole bunch of childhood vaccines like hepatitis. We're going to be getting to that. Putin abandons Maduro, urges his citizens to leave Venezuela, and Putin warns Europe he's prepared for all-out war ahead of Kremlin peace negotiations with Trump envoy Witkoff and son-in-law Kushner. So that's coming up at the start of the next hour, and I'm going to open the phones up again and take your calls in the second hour ahead of Nick Fuentes joining me in the third and fourth hour today. That should be a lively debate and discussion. But before we go any further, the 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited-time sales. These sales could end without warning because the supplies are low of different products. So make sure you take action before they end. All supplements, while supplies last, are buy one, get one free. Ends this Sunday, December 7th. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. First time we ever did this was a few weeks ago. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like ultramethylene blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement for free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Every purchase gets 50X entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those for one of the previous winners before we gave it away. Incredible vehicle. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50X entries this week. Every time you buy something, you put in 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months at a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles, and it obviously increases your chance of winning one. So this is that little, you know, special planets of aligned time. But that's just a fun thing we do. The bigger issue is it funds this operation, and we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together, and InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. So, again, I've said this a million times, we do not sell you stuff that doesn't work and isn't great. Why would I sell you something that doesn't really work great and isn't good for you? Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultramethylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take methylene blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. And if you're like on SSRIs and things, it can make you jump off a building, literally. So talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexjonesstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December. 2025, and it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the bovine colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the methylene blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish sea moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish sea moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with bovine colostrum. Not the case with methylene blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping, at least some of it, at thealexjonesstore.com, and let's continue to change the world together. It's not like you're betting on a horse that hasn't won so many of these big fights. It's not like you're betting on a horse that hasn't had victory. And none of the credit goes to me. It all goes to God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, working through all of us. But you're not key in the fight. You're everything. You're the reason we're here. So please understand that and humbly thank all of you that have supported us. And even if you don't have the money to buy a T-shirt or ball cap, I totally understand. Or to experience Ultra Methylene Blue, I totally understand. Share the articles. Share the videos. Go download the free app on Android or iPhone at alexjonesapp.com. And tell your email list, your friends, your family, your neighbors, hey, this is a forbidden show. Send them the link to alexjonesapp.com and say, here's the free app for the most banned, censored broadcast in the world. Your word of mouth is just as important as you praying for the broadcast. That's even most important, or buying the products. So those that have the means, though, that have been on the fence, you're really missing out when you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the other products. I mean, you're really missing out. And when you wear an InfoWars shirt out in public, the adventure you're going to have, 99% of it will be positive. Somebody might stab you or kill you, too. I'm just being honest. It's an adventure. So check it out today. Get off the fence. Take action. Get in the arena. This is not a simulation. This is not entertainment. This is a war for the future of humanity. All right, we're going to start the next hour. Let's fire up the phone system. I want to talk about Venezuela war. I want to talk about Ukraine war. I want to talk about the economy. I want to talk about the color revolution domestically, your grading of Trump, or what you think is coming next, and more straight ahead. Here's the toll-free number to join us, 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX. That's 877-789-2539. It's a free-for-all. First-time callers, long-time callers. If you disagree, go to the head of the line, 877-789-2539. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Alex Jones, Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one, and I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're into hour number two. The phone lines are loading up. We've got the ex-wife of the Google founder going public about how they were...
Wars. The most banned network in the
world. She was in the meetings about their open world government plan. Pretty powerful video. That's coming up. I'm going to be taking your phone calls. Out of Nick Fuentes is joining us in an hour from now. For 2 hours, I have a wide-ranging discussion, debate, you name it. That's always informative and thought-provoking, so be sure and stay with us for that. But again, we're really pushing a fundraiser right now because we've had some underages. We're having to build the Alex Jones Network. We're doing all the legal battles. We're about to file conspiracy against rights, major civil rights lawsuit. We've already, with our other lawsuits, gotten all the intel. So we need funds to win this war. I want to thank you all. Since I talked about bovine colostrum and talked about my parents, here's their testimonial.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. And with my dad and mother, Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at thealexjones.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Testimonials, but I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone. After 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heinbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know what it was.
I can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
Your friend, you'll be... No, she came on the show like 6 months ago.
Just
she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty cleans. Love you, Charlotte.
So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. We have the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to thealexjonesstore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally five stars, like four and a half, is our ultramethylene blue. So get ultramethylene blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexbookstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexbookstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexbookstore.com.
All right, back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by millionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it. Or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months. However you said it, and then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Made this ridiculous graphic, which I love. I'm Batman, and Nick Fuentes is Robin. Nick's joining us here in about 53 minutes from now. So there you go. That should be an interesting discussion debate coming up in the third and fourth hour today. And I'm going to have them post that image above the live feed on X and point out that Nick's on in about 50-something minutes, and that please post your questions in that post under it. And then, guys, print me off some of the questions or comments or statements so that we can do that on air with Nick. We're going to post that again right on top of the live show feed at the top of X. So you see that post, you just put your comments or questions in there. We'll print them off, and I'll read those on air with Nick. That way I'm not the one captain of the ship here. You, the listeners, and the viewers are. Speaking of that, we've got loaded phone lines. 877-789-2539. As soon as you hear somebody hang up, that's your chance to call in. We don't screen your calls in the technical way like most talk radio. That's what I've been for 30 years, you know, talk radio on TV. Well, I was first talk radio, but 3 or 4 years into it, the internet got good enough to have some streaming. And so we've been, at first it was like a webcam, took like a picture every 5 seconds, but you can hear the audio. And so we're really radio on TV and stream of consciousness analysis, you name it. But most talk radio, I've done it many times myself. I know you've done it a lot of you. You call in, that, what do you want to talk about? They kind of listen to you for a couple minutes. Yeah, no, we don't want to hear that click. Nope. As long as you've got a clear phone line, we are going to go to you. Now, sometimes I say, this is the topic, and then I get a little upset if you go somewhere else, but usually I let you do it. But that's most time I take calls, that's not the case. Today, it's a free-for-all. Whatever you want to call in about in this hour. I want to try to get to all these callers before Nick joins us. Now, Trump, this just broke, warns Israel about interference in Syria after deadly raid airstrikes. So Israel wants to continue to destabilize Syria. Trump was inherited all this with Israel and Turkey and NATO overthrowing it and putting jihadis in control. Now Trump's had them salute the flag and promise they'll stop killing minorities, which they've at least cut back on. I'm not defending any of it. But Israel is continuing to bomb the living hell out of them, and Trump's saying stop it. The Trump administration has worked diligently to help stabilize Syria in the wake of the December 2024 conquest of the Islamic terrorists. The administration has, for instance, removed sanctions and dropped the $10 million bounty on Syrian president, the Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist who's known for his past being head of Al-Qaeda, the Syrian sanctions program. But now Israel's been bombing all of the country, and Trump is threatening them to stop. We'll see if they actually listen to that. All right. I want to hit this, and then I'm going to go to your calls. So Nicole Shanahan is the former wife of Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google with Larry Page. And remember, Elon has been around these guys, worked with them constantly for decades. And Elon's talked about it, and they talk about themselves, how they are anti-animist, anti-human. They don't think humanity's worth defending. They're anti-human. I think it's funny, because I guess Sergey Brin wouldn't give Nicole Shanahan what she needed. So it's on record that she had an affair with Elon Musk, and that's why they got divorced, and she got billions and billions of dollars. But she is a tech person herself and very, very smart, and was obviously the VP running mate of RFK Jr. and a very smart lady, and obviously a listener of this show. I'll leave it at that. But here she is in a brief four-minute interview. Google founder's ex admits tech wife mafia conscripted for the Great Reset. And that's how it works for Bill and Melinda Gates, any of it. Their money is basically forced in to the globalist operation to collapse things and create a post-industrial world. So what an amazing admission. She's talked about it before, but here she is getting into the fact that during the COVID operation and all the rest of it, they were all admitting behind closed doors, no, this is part of the takeover of society, training you to be prisoners, shutting down the human system, preparing for carbon lockdowns. This is just an amazing admission. So I appreciate her courage doing this. So here she is, really spilling the beans from the highest levels of the technocracy.
Many of the tech mafia wives realize is that they were used to set the groundwork for what was called like the reset, what is called generally as like the reset by the Klaus Schwab.
Like
the
Great
world.
Reset.
The Great Reset. Yeah. Yeah. They openly talk about this Great Reset.
Yeah.
So the tech wife mafias, I believe, were kind of being conscripted in many ways, and their money especially was being conscripted in, to set the groundwork for the Great Reset.
Yeah.
Specifically through a network of NGO advisors, relationship with Hollywood, relationship with Davos, and their own companies.
Hmm.
So if you look at like who's on these boards, who hangs out with each other, how the culture of tech wealth works, like Silicon Valley tech wealth in that small group of people responsible for a huge amount of money and a huge amount of NGO activity across the United States. It's a really small group of people, and it's a really small group of people making these decisions.
Yeah.
And then completely blind to everything else that's going on and how their groundwork is being used to then enable these other policies, these great reset policies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this group of women doesn't realize is that in their haste, these women are all very busy.
Yeah.
They have multiple properties. They have tons of staff. They have staff issues, chronic staff issues. their kids are busy. Their kids oftentimes have some health issues as well. A lot of them have relationship issues with their husbands. And a lot of them themselves are like medicated on SSRIs and antidepressants and all of that because it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
So it's chaos, and these women find their meaning through their philanthropic work.
Yeah.
And they find themselves, like I would find myself, that was my self-worth, was my philanthropic work, and I really believed in it.
Mm-hmm.
I really believed that I was giving Black communities a chance to, like, rise up out of oppression. I really believed that I was helping Indigenous communities rise up out of oppression. And now that I look back and see how all those grants were forming, you know, because my version of success is those communities are actually uplifted.
Yeah. Not just more money pumped into them.
Not just more money. No, the problems of the community have gotten worse. Crime in the community has gotten worse. Mental health in the Native community, the Indigenous community, has gotten worse. They will even say, the Indigenous community will even say, that their biggest supporters in Congress have been Republicans. But yet they continue to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that is this, it's like, the whole model is broken.
Mm.
The whole model makes everybody worse off. And now we're contending with the frickin' Great Reset that we're now realizing is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that many of our climate change issues are geoengineering issues.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Which is like, at the end of the day, they always go to that. They're like, but climate change. And then,
yeah, and that really like, is the end all be all. Like, you have to let us do this because of climate change.
Yeah. Social justice and climate change, it always boils down to those two things, and it gets progressive women 100% of the time.
It does. It does.
So,
so you got these billionaire women, you know, very smart, and she's talking about Lorene Powell, is that Steve Jobs' widow that owns the Atlantic or funds it. There she is with Ghislaine Maxwell dozens and dozens of times, reportedly at Zorro Ranch and at the Caribbean Island and all of it. That's who these people are. And you've got Nicole Shanahan breaking with all this during COVID, going public, and blowing the whistle about their plan, and how, oh, these women get billions and billions of dollars from their husbands because they're married to them, and they get co-ownership, and then they put it into, they think, saving the earth. Meanwhile, the geoengineering is destroying the earth. So they got a big problem. And I can tell you, and I'll just leave it at that, that I talked to quite a few of these women. I have been reached out to by a lot of the former wives and even current wives of tech billionaires. And they call them and say, well, you're the guy that first knew about this. What do I do? And I'm like, you do whatever you think's best. I mean, divorce them, go public. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to get in the middle of your life. But imagine the horror of Sergey Brin, who is an anti-human globalist, literal transhumanist, and there's his smart, gorgeous former wife literally exposing the whole thing. I mean, this is how much trouble they're in, people. And imagine their security forces hate them even more than their wives do. And they get caught just like the founder, one of the founders of Google, Eric Schmidt, just got caught. You know, all the stuff he was doing to women and the surveillance and how he had back doors through Google and everything they were doing, watching him. Yeah, they do that to us too. So it's just another sign of how much trouble they're in. That Nicole Shanahan gets behind Kennedy, gets behind Trump, does all this great stuff, and sounds just like Alex Jones. Because she's not making something up. She's smart. She's a tech person in her own right. A whole bunch of things she's done successfully. And then she's now aware it's game over, folks. Again, I'm going to go to your calls, but I told the story already yesterday, Sunday morning. I go for a hike. I need to get gas. I'm going to get gas. Oh, you know, I'm going to go to Taco Deli. Haven't been there in years. Go in there. It's full of people. 30-something people all shake my hand. They're all listeners, black, white, young, old, behind the counter, the managers, the people in the line, everywhere, take all these photos. One guy came in and got his food, didn't talk to me. One guy out of the whole place. You're screwed, guys. I mean, because if you use that as a sampler, it's like I'm in West Austin and probably 30 people are in the building and one person doesn't come over. And they were telling me about the show last week or last month or about this guest. They weren't just saying they were listeners. And some people had tears in their eyes. It's not about how popular I am. I'm nobody. I'm just a bellwether. I'm just a symbol. So that's the good news here. But you wouldn't believe that if you weren't a public figure. Which, again, is a great thing you're not. Believe me, you don't want to be. It's a burden. But the point is you get to understand things other people don't know. You get to know how popular freedom is. Get an InfoWars t-shirt. See what happens when you wear it out in public. Even in liberal areas, you'll get 95% love. Now, you might get shot, too, or stabbed. But that's leftist areas. I go into the most leftist areas of Austin without security, whatever. I'm not worried about it. And I get apology after apology after apology. About a month ago, I went to Target. Got mobbed by liberals saying, I was wrong, you were right, blah, blah, blah. What do we do? So I'm telling you, this awakening is huge, folks. It's beautiful. And that's a big deal what you just saw. So good for her. All right, let's go to your calls. Nick, Jonathan, Sean, Bart, Charles, Austin, Leo, Donnie, Joe, Nathan, Joe. Let's go to Jonathan, New York. Jonathan on Venezuela. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Good, brother.
I am a multi-time caller, very frequent caller. I'm a VIP member, and I am a subscriber to multiple supplements.
Well, you are the InfoWar. Without that 0.1% that buy stuff from us, we'd be here. So you are the reason we're here. We salute you, Jonathan.
I'm very committed to what you have started. I really am. And I do want to preface what I am saying by saying I love our President Donald Trump. He really invigorated this entire country and the world. I want to start off by saying that I'm very grateful for him. But on the other side, I also do want to say the standards to which we set cannot be imagined what it would be like if Kamala Harris was president. That cannot be the standards. President Trump raised these standards so high, and he raised our minds so much. What I'm so concerned with is this Venezuela situation. No matter how we slice it or however we think about it, sure, it's about protecting the Western Hemisphere, but it is not what we voted for by any stretch of the imagination. Couple this with the breaking of MTG and Massey, who are the heart and soul of the MAGA America First base, and couple that with endorsing Lindsey Graham over Paul Dantz, who's an author of Project 2025, is just going against your own ideals. I keep getting these feelings that he's doing everything possible to shake his base or to shake the base away from what it is that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, listen. And I agree with you that MTG was the heart of MAGA support, and what Trump said about her is mean and wrong. He's not a traitor. And I've said he's wrong. Massey was never really, he's more like a Rand Paul type guy. I wouldn't say he's the heart of Trump's base. I think he's a very credible, very smart guy I respect and agree with most of the things he does. Let's be clear. I'd love it if he was president. But hold on just a minute. I just wouldn't say he's the heart of MAGA. That I don't think that's an accurate statement. Yeah, so you're here. And so it's not, oh, what if we had Kamala? The point is we got what we got here. We're trying to hold Trump's feet to the fire. So what would you like to see? I mean, what do we do?
Well, I would like for, I mean, we're turning into the prototypical GOP, the prototypical Republican Party. We're talking about stocks and war and taxes and war. It's really not the revolutionary that we asked for.
Well, that's really exactly what I said last hour. We want to hear about cutting prices. We want to hear about all that. I appreciate your call. I agree with you. But we are where we are. And the left is trying to do a color revolution to overthrow Trump. So we can criticize Trump all day, try to keep him honest, and we were able to move him quite a bit, which is a good sign. So I'm not against it. It's not a paradox where, you know, oh, wait, we're for Trump, we criticize him. You're preaching the choir here. And I say criticize Trump all day long. But also spend your time with the Democrats. That's my opinion. Bart in Chicago on stock market crash. Go ahead.
How's it going, Alex? I just wanted to mention how the coming stock market crash, which I believe is coming before Christmas, is pivotal in launching the Podesta plan and military coup against Trump in 2026. And also how, like, the Venezuela conflict, which will spike oil prices, is going to force the Bank of Japan to raise interest rates on December 19th when they have their meeting. And the economic minister just alluded to it on Sunday night. And this will unravel the yen carry trade, which has propped up our bond market and our stock market, right? So so when the stock market does crash, you know, the banks will also, you know, crash and threaten to take down the U.S. economy with it. So the Fed will be forced to undergo quantitative easing and emergency rate cuts, which then is going to further exacerbate the affordability crisis, which is what the Democrats just ran on and had a sweeping, quote-unquote, victory in November, right? So, you know, then they will go to the whole fake polls showing a guaranteed midterm victory, and the proof will be the affordability crisis and the clean sweep in November. And then they will use this to create the perception that victory is guaranteed, to instill fear and pressure to the military personnel and federal apparatus to not follow illegal orders or face persecution when they take over. So that when they launch their, you know, color revolution, probably sometime before the midterms in, let's say, like October of 26, due to the affordability crisis, let's say groceries become too expensive, right? Because of quantitative easing, because of all the inflation. It will force Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, which then they will claim he's trying to be a dictator to circumvent a guaranteed Democratic victory, and therefore the military must defect and launch the coup. And so I believe this is the setup, and that's why the market and everything and the economy is so pivotal in all this.
I totally agree with you. That's the plan. Great call. Absolutely. That's their plan. So we can all be holier than thou and just say Trump's bad so we don't support him, let things collapse, have martial law, live in a communist dictatorship, or we can try to keep Trump honest, back to good things he's doing, and try to save the country. That's where I'm at. Leo in Minnesota, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, the General Jones. How you doing, brother?
Good talking to you, brother. Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for all the awareness you've brought to the fight of freedom and humanity against tyranny, brother. I promise to God we're going to see it through, brother. And this is my battle cry for the info war.
Ah!
I swear on the altar of the Lord, they will never overthrow this beautiful country, Alex. And we're awakening every single day.
Well, that wasn't hype earlier. When I go on the street, I get nothing but love now. I'll go 3 months without being yelled at or attacked. It used to happen every day. I mean, they're in big, like, they made me the demon. The media ran tens of thousands of stories, conservatively, tens of thousands of TV programs saying I was the devil. And the public hates him so much, it made the public love me more. So it's not about how good I am, it's that how much they're hated. Does that make sense?
It makes sense 100%. You can see they're in their final death throes with people as high up as the Seditious Six coming out and doing what they're doing. I mean, it's all coming to the head. It's all coming to the tip of the spear.
They're right. The globalists are in their death throes, which makes them extremely dangerous. So what do we need to do?
What we need to do is keep our head on a swivel for the false flags. And I really urge the military. I think they're putting out this call to not respond to orders because they got plants inside the military, like some of your callers referenced to officer.
Oh, we've seen hundreds of videos of these leftists saying America's evil. The orders are illegal. I'm not going to follow them. Exactly. They're giving cover and orders to their people to sabotage.
And I believe that some of their deep state actors inside the military may give the orders that are seditious.
100%.
And we just need to keep a head out for that and watch out
100%.
For the 100%.
That's the plan, is to launch a military coup.
They are. And we can see how they use the special ops group that went into Venezuela to overthrow Maduro on a secret note. I just, like you said, we need to send the military in there. And we just need to stay away from the special forces because I think that's where the psyops are going to take
place. Well, it's not just the special forces. It's the CIA advising them to set them up. Overall, Trump has the power to do regime change. It's constitutional. My problem is the setup of getting bad intel from the CIA. And, yeah, the setup that happened about 3 weeks ago where they put a fake group in and then rolled it up to embarrass Trump. Absolutely. That's the issue. Thank you. All right. Joe and others, your calls are straight ahead. When we come back on the other side of this quick break, history is happening now. Anybody that says it's ever a slow news day, isn't paying attention. There's never a slow news day going forward. The quickening's here. The fourth turning is here.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice.
his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder. Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto vorrà, si dirà tipo socialis, fortune amici vorrà, su tra di fratellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Is completely freaking out. He's running around. Oh, Trump wants to kill me. Oh, Hegseth's like a 12-year-old boy playing army. Hegseth is highly decorated combat veteran in hundreds of battles with all sorts of kills. and medals out the ass. So the media makes jokes about him and all his medals, even though he hardly ever wears them. So, no, Pete Hegseth didn't play Army, bro. He's a badass. You know, you got to love Kelly, who flew a desk in the service he was in. I'm not putting down people that fly a desk around, but this is a pencil pusher saying Pete Hegseth is pretending to be in the Army. It's just disgusting. This guy's got money from the Chinese government. Millions and millions of dollars. Like, swallows well and all of them. I mean, he's a sack of crap. Mark Kelly likens Hegseth to 12-year-old playing Army. So you have a highly decorated commander from the Army that led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I forget the record. It looked like it was like some ridiculous number of combat missions. Huge firefights, you know, you name it. And you say he's pretending to play Army. Oh, okay. All right. I mean, it's insane. Meanwhile, look at Kelly's record. Zero combat. I'm not against people that were in the Air Force or the Navy or were, you know, logistics, the Army. That's all just as important as the warfighters there on the front line. But you don't get to then point at a tip of the spear, decorated warfighter, and say he is fake. I mean, it'd be like if you said Tom Brady is a fake and claim he's a good football player. Tom Brady claims he won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady claims he's a good football player. What? Michael Jordan claims he's a good basketball player. What? Tiger Woods claims he's a good golf player. What? They're not just good, they're the best. Oh, Mike Tyson claims he's the greatest boxer ever. In all the studies and computer models, he's it. Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Sonny Liston, Jack Dempsey. It'd be like somebody that was never even in the Golden Gloves, that's Mark Kelly, looking at Muhammad Ali, our Olympic champion, even before he got into professional boxing, world champion of the Olympics, and saying, you pretend to be a boxer. But he knows, it'd be like saying, George Washington is acting like he's an American patriot. He's not an American patriot. He's the American patriot. It's just, but again, he knows his moron constituents don't know that. I mean, guaranteed, you know, Kelly, I'm sure, did his research. I'm sure he's given a script, so I'm sure he knows Hegseth's a war hero, right? It's so insulting to our intelligence. So play that clip, and then the other one. I got a bunch of them today, actually, but I want to play two. Where he's like, oh, Trump wants to kill me. No, Trump said if you get a rebellion going, if you get a sedition going, if you get a color revolution going, that's punishable by death. He didn't say your name. He said what the U.S. code says, Jack. You guys want to launch this but not have the repercussions of it. You better hope you're not successful launching your civil war, because it ain't going to end up like your Hollywood movie Civil War last year where you killed Trump in the Oval Office. Ain't going to end up like that, Kelly. I can guarantee you that, Sonny. I want to go back to your calls, but let's play these clips. Here it is.
He runs around on a stage like he's a 12-year-old playing Army. And it is ridiculous. It is embarrassing. And I can't imagine what our allies think of looking at that guy in this job, one of the most important jobs in our country. In my view, after the president of the...
Our allies? How about our enemies? I can tell you right now, Rush already said, have Venezuela, whatever. China's like scared. To actually have a real warfighter that's not a Politico pussy, like these generals brainwashed in these globalist schools and continuing education they do. Oh, we know what the message is with Hegseth. It's strength. But you, again, he's a 12-year-old running around pretending he's in the Army. You weren't even in the Army, Kelly, and you weren't in combat in all those countries. You didn't raid hundreds of terrorist nests. It's too much. It's too much, people. Go back to it.
of looking at that guy in this job, one of the most important jobs in our country. In my view, after the President of the United States, it is the next most important job. He is in the National Command Authority for Nuclear Weapons. And last night, he's putting out on the internet turtles with rocket-propelled grenades. Have you seen this? This is the Secretary of Defense.
It's a joke,
this
dumb
is
butt.
Not a serious person.
Oh, yeah, right.
He should have been fired after Signalgate.
Which he set him
and
up
then
with
every
him.
Single day after that. President Trump is trying to silence me, threatening to kill me for saying what is true. And he sent his Secretary of Defense after me. And it's not going to work. Here's how we got here. A week and a half ago, Senator Slotkin and I, along with others who also served in the military and the intelligence communities, we released a video with a simple message
Fight
to service
Soros.
Members that they must refuse illegal orders. Nothing was controversial about that.
Oh, but you all said they were illegal orders, but they weren't.
Everyone must follow the law.
They're getting ready for something big, folks.
No one may break the law. This is pretty basic stuff.
Am I taking shotgun money?
Seeing that video, here's how any other president would have responded. They would have said two words, of course. But that's not how this president responded.
No, your senators have said what he said was illegal.
We've
What's
become
not?
So accustomed to Donald Trump's behavior that it is worth emphasizing. The president of the United States said that two U.S. senators and four members of the House of Representatives should be arrested, hanged, executed for something we said.
You're part of a larger program to undermine the country and destroy it. And Abraham Lincoln would have already arrested your ass. So would have Andrew Jackson or Thomas Jefferson. Oh, no. Yeah, there's a... Senator Mark Kelly right there. Bad boy. He may actually... Is that Nosferatu? All right, let's go to your phone calls. Let's go to Carlos in Canada, who's a political scientist, successful businessman, but a guest on the show. Carlos, your take on what's happening.
Well, it's very serious. But I'll say Charlie Kirk was right. He realized, being MAGA, that America first was to deal with American problems. And these are many, Alex. But he found and discovered that Zionist oligarchs deliberately were financing the split of MAGA into what it's called Make Israel Great Again. Israel First is anti-American. MIGA is anti-American. And that he discovered. And the problem is that Israel First devotees entangle the United States in its nefarious enterprises with Israel. Presidents Washington and Jefferson warned against such parasitic entanglements. But what he discovered was that if this president is so compromised, is unable to disentangle U.S. from Israel, Americans will just have to elect one that will. So President Trump, as a president of the United States in historic context, has to decide whether it's going to be MAGA, Make America Great Again, or MIGA, entanglement with Israel. If he doesn't, the fate in 2026 will be that, well, you know, the result.
I mean, listen, I don't want Israel running our policies, and clearly that's a real thing going on, trying to. And don't worry, we'll have Nick Fuentes on. It's been hours on it, I'm sure. But, I mean, there are other issues, right? There are other things going on, Carlos?
Of course there are, many of them. How, for example, would you explain a relationship where the invasion of Venezuela is announced in advance for a cause that was initially to be drugs, subsequently to be following the best interests of having a regime change then about voting patterns in the United States and claims which may or may not be proven. Years later, we'll find out they were maybe not so accurate, and as the CIA would make. The problems in the United States are fundamental, Alex. We have I called many, many times to say, well, president should look at audit the Fed and, you know, replace it. There's no need for it. President Trump should do this. President Trump should do that. And what I saw was Blackstone BlackRock come out of nowhere, where the Fed chairman becomes the Treasury of the United States. I saw the very reversal, the, if you want to call it, the inversion of the government telling the people what to do instead of the people telling the government what to do.
Should we vote Democrat then?
Well, let me tell you, if it comes to a decision of saying, well, are kids wearing big pigtails or little pigtails and pink and not pink? Well, the maternal instinct will fix that. You will see the maternal instinct, but that's democratically will be done. But once you put the institutions that will break up this country and make it a slave to a financial interest group like BlackRock or Vanguard, you're done.
All right, I appreciate your call. I'm trying to follow all that, but okay. I mean, Trump's just trying to get as much investment as he can in the U.S. And I asked, what do we do? Do we get rid of Trump? And I never get an answer on that. Joe in Michigan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, Alex, how are you? This is a fourth time caller from Michigan.
Welcome.
And I would, first of all, I got three little quickies for you. I'd like to thank you very much for saving me and my family's life here. We didn't get the poison shots and we're all healthy here.
Beautiful.
No, number one, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Hey, we're all in this together, brother.
I mean, you're great. You're a great person. Trump's got to really start listening to you because you got the mainstream media, you know, pushing all this other stuff on him, and he's confused. Second of all, I'd like to see you quit smoking, number one. You know, number two, I'd like to see you around for a while and just, you know, make your lungs healthy. I know you take a lot of the supplements and that, and I know you do puff a little bit, but I'd like to see you quit smoking. But the main thing was I wanted to find out your take was on the real ID that they're trying to shove everybody into. I got a birthday coming up in February. I'm really, really close to your birthday. And I wanted to know, I know in Texas that you cannot, once you get the real ID, you cannot opt out once it goes on your driver's license. And I was wondering if you have it or if you're planning on getting it, because it's not a good thing.
Yeah, we've had guests on, thanks for the call, about the real ID. That's another mistake Trump's making. There's a big push globally for internet IDs, all of it. It's all happening. So you're right. They get that in place, we're totally screwed. That's another bad thing Trump's doing. We've covered that a lot. You must have missed it. As for smoking, I never really smoked cigarettes full time. And I hadn't smoked cigarettes about 15 years. And then when I did my weight loss thing in the last 15 months and lost 60 something pounds, I like cigars. I like chewing tobacco. I like dip. I like nicotine pouches, everything. And so, yeah, I smoke a few cigarettes a day. I don't try to do it on air. A few times a cruise cut to it when I'm doing it. And so I'm not hiding it. I'm not perfect. I mean, I've gone 6 months at a time not drinking, and I've, you know, cut way back. So that's my personal thing. That's what I'm doing. But you're absolutely right. I should stop all of that. And I certainly have cut back to almost nothing. The larger, you know, issue that you raise is, just in general, we need Trump to succeed. And so we can prove ourselves holier than thou all day criticizing what Trump's done that's wrong. Okay, great. I spent a lot of time on that. But we need to spend time with Democrats as well. That's all I'm trying to say. Nathan in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Tip of the spear, Alex Jones. It's a pleasure. You know, there's a million topics that somebody could talk about. I just want to say, as a brother in Christ, thank you for never shying away from your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we both know, I don't need to tell you, it's the most important thing, Alex. Thank you for always being brave in your faith. I just want to send prayers of encouragement and strength your way. I would like to talk about this. You know, there's a lot of Trump criticism going on right now. And, you know, can't people see that the other side is much, much worse. You know, President Trump is absolutely the lesser of the two evils. You know, they're trying to make, I mean, you talk about it. I mean, they're trying to make the frogs gay. They're trying to make our kids gay. I mean, you know, the Podesta plan and everything you talk about. You know, there are really evil people pulling strings. And I'm just like, man, I can't believe people can't see through this crap, that there are bad people, you know, in our country and have important positions. And for somebody, you know, like you say, President Trump, a real American patriot, you know, one of the best since Thomas Jefferson's, you know, our modern day Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, man, you know, we just need to try to rally the troops and get people to see through this crap.
Well, I mean, I think it's great to hold Trump's feet to the fire, and we do it to get stuff done. And most of the time he actually does what we want. I just get it's fashionable just to bitch about Trump all day, but no time on Democrats. So I'm just asking listeners, how much time do we spend bitching about Trump and, you know, saying Israel, 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 as if that does anything to Israel, like it's a magic word, other than the Chi-Coms, the globalists, you know, all these other big issues? That's my only point, is there's other things going on as well.
Right, yes. A little bit of background here. I just want to say, you know, obviously, I think everybody probably first heard you about, you know, they love to bring up the Sandy Hook and love to spread misinformation about what you said and everything. And I just want to say, you know, the media, I mean, you know this, it's got a hold on everybody. You know, that's what everybody saw. Alex Jones talks about Sandy Hook. And, man, if I could just encourage people, it's like, man, just listen to this guy spreading the truth. And, oh, my gosh, it's just really scary how the media's got a rap on everything and they control everything. You know, you look certain people up and, you know, everything, it's bad about President Trump. I mean, it's just really nuts. But I just want to send strength and encouragement your way. Alex Jones, tip of the spear. Thanks for what you do. Oh, my gosh, I could only imagine, you know, things that you're going through. So just thanks for every day coming on in the weekdays and doing what you do. I mean, I cannot imagine just the scrutiny and pressure.
I love it, brother. I'm in the fight. I love it. Just thanks for keeping me here. But we're on Saturdays. I almost always do a Saturday show. We do the Sunday show. I'm 7 days a week, bro, because every day on air is so precious. Thank you so much, Nathan. All right, let's go to Austin in Missouri on Russia and Ukraine. Big developments there. Putin abandons Maduro and urges his citizens to leave Venezuela. Breaking, Putin warns Europe he's preparing for all-out war ahead of Kremlin peace negotiations with Trump envoy Witkoff. What do you make of that? Go ahead.
Well, I remember during the Biden administration, the big sham, that Putin was one of the only voices that was actually standing up for Trump and giving us an avenue to get our, you know, get our voices heard against the obvious Ukraine deep state cutout. I mean, their symbols of pitchfork, if that doesn't tell you enough. I mean, completely corrupt. And I think Trump should take a page out of JFK's playbook, because the deep state obviously sees them as a big threat. And I mean, their culture aligns exactly with what we're trying to get back with. They don't have the woke virus and everything over there. And I think he should have an alliance or do some kind of joint initiative with Russia, because not just we shouldn't support Ukraine, but that's actually completely adversary to our values and what we stand for and what we're going up against right now. Not to mention that they have a Nazi brigade. So if Israel would like to help us out and be an ally, they're so concerned about Nazis. Well, we have a battle hardened Nazi brigade over there that's probably being groomed for false flags here.
And then those are real Nazis with the Azov Battalion that forms the heart of the Ukrainian military. That's a great point. Thank you so much, Austin. Let's go ahead and go to Nick in Connecticut on Venezuela. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Alex, long-time listener, about 20 years, first-time caller. Have an opportunity to voice a little opinion about what's going on for Venezuela. I believe the drug boats and all that getting bombed out, which they totally deserve for bringing that poison into our country, kind of is like a two-for-one. You know, get rid of the drugs, and I think it's running cover to get those, get at the heart of the Dominion machines. I mean, a lot of people don't think about or remember that stuff was born in Venezuela for Maduro to win his elections. And I believe a large amount of that information and the people that need to be gotten to expose it, are there. And we can say goodbye to elections, free and fair elections, if we don't address that problem. I hope to God and I pray that this administration is doing just that. Of course, they're not going to come out and say it because you don't want to give the plan out to the other side. But that's what I believe in my gut is going on.
I totally agree. And so we open the phones up, which is great. I love it. But it's all about keep Trump good. Trump needs to do this. Trump needs to do that. Great. We're doing that. But again, do we spend 5% of our time on Democrats? Maybe 10%? Maybe 20? Because we have to remember the globalists, the left, BlackRock, the New World Order. That is all right there. We should spend some of our time on that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe it's just a, you know, a left versus right thing. That's just to convolute and keep everybody in their playpen separate from one another. It's good versus evil. You said it many times, and I'm a strong believer in God and his son, Jesus Christ, which he had sacrificed and didn't deserve it, but he died for our sins on that cross. And we have to do everything in our power to be Christ-like, even though we fall short. But we have to do everything. We have to be honest, and we have to battle the other side. We have to do it peacefully and patriotically and through changing hearts and minds of people so that they can get on board with doing the right and righteous thing.
I totally agree. And we've got to expose the globalists are trying to stage a color revolution right now to bring the country down. They admit it. So that's the big front and center thing. Is Trump's administration perfect? No. Is there some bad guys there? Yeah, we expose them. My God, Kash Patel, we told you 6 months ago all the stuff coming out now. We're like ahead of that. We want to get good guys in there. But at the end of the day, we want to boost Trump for the good things he's doing. Thank you. All right. Nick Fuentes is coming up. I'm sure we'll take some calls. On X, we did that post where we're getting your comments there and your questions. So print me those off, please, from that post we did. And that's all coming up in the next 2 hours. Nick Fuentes is about to connect. Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now. A huge sale going right now. For the next few days, we will be running a series of limited-time sales. These sales could end without warning as each product sells out, so make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement and a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So, for just the next 5 days, there's a typo in this ad, of course. For the next 12 days, no, it's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, overhead shot this. I just love this. It's so cute. It's 5 days. The next 5 days, not 12 days. You can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's fix that ad and get it back out of the group.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Of a Dodge Challenger, as he goes straight. All right, Nick Fuentes is connected right now with us at 6 after. Let's go to another call. Mike in Texas disagrees. Go ahead, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, the problem we've all had and the reason we're pulling our hair out trying to figure out is Trump with us or against us is that he flew under a false flag to get into office. He said he was MAGA, but he's hopelessly conflicted. He is a member of Chabad, a Jewish supremacist organization, as Henry Makow points out in his book Illuminati 4. And he's also a Freemason, which also is Kabbalah light. So his allegiance is first and foremost to Israel, which is why he went ahead and bombed Iran, despite the fact that he had no congressional cover to do that. It was a war crime, actually, to bomb a country that had done absolutely nothing to us. So,
by the way, Mike, aren't you a doctor? Yeah, you're a doctor. You've been on college for like 25 years, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So you're a smart guy. You've been calling 25 years. Good to hear from you. Trump is a Mason? Well, where's the proof of that?
Again, it's from Henry Makow, who was himself in these organizations. He knows what he's speaking of, that Trump is on board. You also have to understand, as he points out, Makow does in his book, a former member of Chabad, a former Freemason, that Netanyahu was trained from his birth in Philadelphia by the Rothschilds using satanic ritual abuse. He's on a suicide mission for Israel. And I don't know if the Israeli people understand that, what he's doing here, just indiscriminately slaughtering Palestinians. And I don't know if Trump understands that either.
Well, nothing against Henry McCall, but people write books saying I'm Bill Hicks. So where's the proof that Trump is part of some rabbinical organization? I know he's been given gifts. He's been given gifts by the Indians, the Muslims, everybody else. You got people like Brennan saying he converted to Islam on TV. So where is Trump converted to Judaism? Where is Trump a Mason? Somebody writes a book saying it?
He went to the funeral celebration, the death anniversary of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, put on his kippah. Trump did, and placed his hand on the on whatever monument is there to Schneerson. This marks him as a member of Chabad. I mean, why would a Christian president put on a kippah and celebrate the death of a crazy, a an obvious rabid Jewish supremacist who wants to kill most of the Gentiles on the face of the earth, so that the Jewish race can come into its own.
So let's just say what you're saying is true. So we should vote Democrat.
No, don't put words in my mouth, Alex.
I'm not. I'm asking, what do we do about it? Let's just say it's true. He's a Mason.
All we can do is call him out and keep him to his word. Pray that he is bound by his tongue, and Christians will understand what that means.
Sure, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, Mike. Hold over. I'll get to you with Nick Fuentes if you want. I'm just being honest here. People write something in a book. Politicians go, you say he's a Hindu. He's gone to Hindu rituals. He's done Orthodox Church stuff, Catholic stuff. It's like Trump goes to all these events, what politicians do. So they go to the Wailing Wall and go, oh, look, he works for Israel. They go to all those places. I just don't think it's fair.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, Little Bitty, and people he knew signed them. You really couldn't tell who they were, and I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom! And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody's ever been in fights, you know, looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat and they'll kind of sit back and watch to see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes to do all of this. The Soros scum and the Soros DA and just all of them. They're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity. How'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag. Remember everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end. The mugshot. The mugshot. The mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at. And knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look. Except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are gonna find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs
and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant.
By the way, I did not come up with me as Batman and Nick Fuentes as Robin, as if I'm the boss. The crew did that. It's absolutely ridiculous. More like I'm George Washington and he's Andrew Jackson. It's a generational thing. And Nick is having a generational run. It's true. I met Nick over 9-10 years ago. Thought he was very intelligent, very smart. Wasn't as, quote, radical as he is now. And his story, you know, is now well known, the origin story, the rest of it. But as I've said a million times, I got attacked for having him on. The left, the Democrats, the ADL, all of them literally say Christians, Catholics, white people are the devil. We need to be eradicated. Even Elon Musk posted a video the other day showing hundreds of headlines saying abolish whites, we're the devil, we're the demons. So you can't point your finger at Nick Fuentes, who doesn't want to kill all the other groups, who doesn't want to do it, but says we're not going to put up with this anymore, and then say he's a Nazi from a race-based position. The left is even more Nazi than Adolf Hitler. So I don't apologize for having Nick on, and I love the Streisand effect of getting him on Tucker. I, behind the scenes, engineered that, and I had no idea it would create an even bigger controversy. But here we are. So the time we have, the next hour and 50 minutes, I want to go through a lot of topics. We've got callers that are here, some of them. A lot of people on X had questions. But Nick, first off, just paradoxically great to have you here. People can find all your work at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble and find you on X. Big picture, answer this for me. Because they can take clips out of context. When Trump's doing something good, I see you promote it. When he does something bad, you put pressure on him. But paradoxically, my listeners just want to complain about Trump all day, which is fine. We take their calls, we do it. But how much time should be spent on the Democrats, BlackRock, the globalists, Islam? Because I also get to say whenever I cover something with Islam or China or anything, it's like, why aren't you exposing Israel? It's great to expose Israel. It's great that that taboo is over. The spell is broken, but then now as we enter this new era of where we're not just exposing a foreign controlling influence, how do we then promote a new system, and then what does that stand for? What is America first? That's a big question, but I'm sure you can answer it.
It is a good question, and I get asked this question a lot because I spend all my time attacking Republicans and the right wing and Trump in particular, and people say, well, why don't you focus more on the left, or why don't you focus exclusively on the left? And to that I would say we're in power right now. We, the Republicans, the Trump movement are in power. Trump is in the White House. Republicans still, as of right now, control the House and the Senate. Allegedly, in the first term, they engineered it so that we could control the federal judiciary, the Supreme Court. So without a doubt, we have all the cards. We have all the power. And I think that when that is the case, especially, maybe it's a different story when Biden was in charge. I was certainly far more critical of the Democrats when he was the president. But when Republicans are in charge, I really believe we have a special obligation to put the heat on Trump and to light a fire under them to get the things that they promised to do finished, because we don't have that much time. And I understand what you're saying. There are some people that are telling us that, you know, politics is useless. It's a waste of time. People say things like there are no political solutions. And I, like you, am a bit more optimistic. I think that even the Trump administration presents us with opportunities. And as you said, when he does positive things, I heap praise upon Trump. Like, for example, for the tariffs, for securing the border. These are very positive things. We have to be honest, though, and say there are a lot of negatives here. For example, the foreign policy. This intervention in Venezuela has like a 16% approval rating with the voters, and it looks inevitable at this point. The Epstein files was a totally self-induced debacle. And so I do just think we have an obligation. There's a commission on the part of the America First base to be very loud And I also think very negative. I think that we always have to be asking for more because time is of the essence. There's so much urgency. We don't realistically even have 4 years. We actually have like a year and a half. If we could talk about the timeline of the 4 years, breaking it down.
Yeah, let's do that. And I don't disagree with you. I think putting pressure on Trump is good. I was just putting the question out there, but let's talk about the timeline, sure. Big picture.
Yeah, so in terms of timeline, I was saying this throughout the election last year and even at the beginning of this year, and you know this perfectly well because you were around for the first term too, and we both watched it sort of in real time. Everybody thinks you get 4 years. That's the president's term. So people think we got 2025 until 2029 when the next president's inaugurated, and so we have plenty of time. And we really don't, though. Because, as you know, the ruling party almost always suffers in the midterms, especially in the House. It's almost a given that we will lose the House of Representatives in 2026. That is a year away. That more likely than not, because we have such a slim majority, we're going to lose the House. And you know that once we lose the House, the Democrats are going to do everything in their power to subpoena, to investigate. They're going to try and jam up the administration. It's going to take a lot of energy away from some of the other initiatives and projects. So that's a major pressure. The other thing is the elections. Probably before we even lose the House, there's going to be, to some extent, some moderating. The administration might not want to be extremely aggressive. They're going to be more risk averse because in the build up to the midterms, they're going to be campaigning and they're going to try to win over people in the middle, the independents. We have to win the election. So realistically, in like the spring or the summer of next year, they might start to moderate. And then the third thing is that Trump is a lame duck. And that means that he is term limited. He can't run again in 2028. Starting in 2027, just a couple months after the midterms, like half his cabinet and many of the senators and governors might start their exploratory committees and start thinking about running for president. And that includes Vance, Rubio, Noam, DeSantis. Like a lot of people are going to start to look for the exits and they're going to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And so by 2027, there's not going to be a ton of focus. Then 28, you got another election. So all this is to say you really need to push hard and strong and fast. There's a lot of urgency.
So what does Trump need to do right now? I mean, if you were the president, what would you do?
If I'm the president, I'm going to do mass deportations. I'm going to do everything in my power to deport as many people as possible immediately. And no excuses about we need to spin up the personnel. And I get it. I talk to people that are in government and I understand some of the problems, but we need like a Herculean effort to get those deportations up immediately.
Did you like Trump saying that he's going to total ban on all third world immigration?
I thought it was the best statement he's had in probably 5 years, but it's just a statement. We need to, if he turned that into policy, I'd be happy as a clam and I would be, you know, MAGA night at the White House. It would be 2016 all over again. We're never coming down. But the problem is we always just get these like statements. Trump gets in trouble in the polls. He gets in trouble with his favorability. And then we always see that he brings out the red meat and he throws this out to the base. And it's sort of disturbing that he knows exactly what to say. Like that was a perfect statement that I would love. And so you say to yourself, oh, so you do know how to make us happy. You know exactly what we want to hear. You know exactly what we want you to do. Why are we now getting it all of a sudden? Like you flipped a switch. We should have been getting this the entire time and not just in words, but in actions also. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was an excellent statement, but we just need to see it actualized and realized. It's too much talk. And it also just seems like he's covering his behind because we know that the numbers are really bad right now. Favorability, polling, approval, and even this generic ballot polling that's coming out for 26. Everybody knows, and you and I have been talking about it for months, he's in real trouble. Like Marjorie Greene resigning, they might lose their majority even before the midterms if they lose a couple more people, if a couple more people jump ship or drop out. And so I think
he puts a statement. And all he had to do was be nicer and not attack her. It's another self-inflicted wound.
Exactly. And that's really the saddest thing about this is it's a missed opportunity. Here we are. We're well positioned. We know what we need to do. We know what the people want. We have the power to do it. He has the mandate. The left is disorganized. And yet it's all these self-inflicted wounds. And there was so much optimism and confidence, the golden age and all this kind of stuff. And it feels like all over again, we're squandering it. And you have to lay the blame at the feet of the people with responsibility. They're looting. And I'm sure you know about this too. It is like a criminal enterprise, the way the people in this government are looting the government. It is like the epitome of Grifter City, and everybody knows them there. It's insane. And, you know, so people don't see the change happening, and they want to make excuses and talk about QAnon and five-dimensional chess.
And that's why they kicked Elon out, because he was doing real change.
Exactly right. Well, because he came in with private sector people, and he said, we're going to move fast and break things, and, you know, we're going to have a technological solution to a political problem.
Because the system will collapse, and none of the money's worth a thing. He didn't do it out of some altruism, but saving the ship. And these crazies are just continuing on with all of the, I mean, we can go into a deep dive on it, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're totally right. And it is. The whole country's collapsing, and it feels like nothing is going to shake us out of this. Might have to get worse before it gets better. I'm not an accelerationist, but you almost feel that's inevitable, because here we are. Things could not be worse in terms of the situation on the war footing, the fiscal situation, the debt situation, plus the mass migration. Like, how could it get worse? And yet we're still asleep
at
the wheel.
So let's look at a few scenarios. Crystal ball here. We're not saying this is the future, but particular futures. What are the futures you see if this doesn't succeed and the left comes in? Because people are radicalized. They're going to be, you know, Nick Fuentes, or they're going to be Mondami. They're going to go America first. They're going to go commie. People, I mean, that shows how desperate the young people are.
Yeah, it's true. And especially in New York, where people that make six figures, they're affected by the affordability crisis. Like, New York is unaffordable for people that are actually making quite a bit of money. And what happens when people can't get ahead is they turn to that. When people have no stake in the society, they're going to turn to the redistribution, the redistributive scheme. And unfortunately, that comes with a lot of like anti-white grievance politics. And so I think what you're going to get in 28, I don't think it's so clean on the left, because, you know, look, they've had the same problem for many, many years, which is there's a deep tension between the establishment and the idealistic wing of the party, the progressive wing. You saw it in 16 when they cheated Bernie. They cheated Bernie again in 2020. Like, Bernie won the first three contests, and then the Democrats came in and they rigged it for Biden in South Carolina. And then in 24, all the insiders said, no, we're going to do Biden. Oh, it turns out like that's impossible. Okay, well, we're just going to have Kamala. And there wasn't even a process. I think you're going to get a lot of frustration in 28. And with Trump not on the ticket, I don't know that they're really going to be able to rally. So they got some difficulty too. I think the task of the right is to outflank the left on economic populism. That's just the answer. It's literally that simple, because the left has a lot of internal contradictions. It's not so easy for them, because, you know, there's going to be this like Josh Shapiro, Zohran Mamdani problem is what I would call it. On the right, we really just need to capitalize on the fact that the left is sort of being dragged down by the identity politics for them. It's like the anti-white grievance politics, the radical stuff, the Antifa, transgender stuff. It's really hurting them with a lot of their people. But the right just needs to get out of their own way. They need to deliver on affordability, housing. They can't be telling the voters, if you can't afford to live in your city, you have to go and move somewhere else and work on an oil rig. Like, that's not going to work. So there's opportunity for the right, but they have to listen to people like me, people like you, people like Tucker. They need to kind of hear that we're at a red alert. Big opportunities, but also major risks if we don't make the smart decisions. So that's sort of my crystal ball for 28. I think that you know, the left is still not completely fortified yet, not consolidated, but they can, and you can see it, they're rallying because the right is making a lot of unforced errors. No reason it should be like this.
What do you make of Newsom being their main frontrunner?
I think that Newsom is somebody who, he's similar to DeSantis in the sense that he has a lot of weaknesses that people don't realize. He's very arrogant. If you watched his debate with DeSantis, that governor's debate about a year or two ago, he didn't come off great. He didn't do a great job. And people are excited about him. Like, I was excited about him because he's like a handsome, tall, white guy from the left, as opposed to the kind of race communism like a Stacey Abrams. So that's sort of interesting. But he ran California into the ground. He's not that intelligent. I don't even really think he's that likable. He seems frustrated and sort of like a little bit smug and arrogant. So I think like it's just like it was in the Republican primary last year. You never really know until a person is thrust onto the national stage how they're going to perform. And so right now, Newsom is the favorite, and he's obviously making moves. Pritzker, you know, he's on Ozempic so that he can run, and Buttigieg is looking at running. And, you know, so you have a lot of people that are thinking about it. And I think that Gavin Newsom, it reminds me sort of like Jeb Bush, where he's maybe just the one with name recognition. He's maybe just the one who's got a little bit of name ID. He's a little bit well-known. He's tall. Maybe he's got the look. And so I think that's just the default. I think, though, that once the primary starts, we're going to get a complete surprise.
No, I agree. So who do you think the front runner is on the Republican side of this big question?
Oh, it's Vance, without a question. It's Vance, and he's the one that's polling the highest, and he's the one that's favored in the betting markets. And it makes sense. He's the vice president, so he's sort of the heir apparent. You know, he's right now the favorite. But I think it's the same thing with him. I'll give it to him. He's a good politician. And I think he's making a lot of strategic moves. He leaped in front of the Charlie Kirk funeral. And I don't want that to sound like it's cynical, but I do think that was a political move, even if it was sincere in some ways. I think it was smart. He's also leapt in front of, for example, the issue of Antifa, of the National Guard being deployed, immigration. When he was in Israel, he went to the church instead of the wall. Very calculated. And I think he's sort of been grooming the so-called dissident right. He's telling them what they want to hear. I think he's paving the way with the right-wing cultural.
It's not about credit. It's true. People that don't know, you had your big split with Shapiro and all them in the last 9 years. And then Reuters basically took over. TPUSA was evident. And now you look at Vance getting questions. It sounds like you wrote his responses. So I think actually the criticism, whereas he attacks you publicly, I think he's actually listening to you in policy.
Well, I don't know that he's listening to us, but I think it's strategic because, you know, you look at his actual policy, and I'll never forget this, and other people shouldn't either, and this is a concern. I'm always listening and I'm always open-minded, but last year, Vance made a very intentional choice during the election to go to an anti-war think tank called the Quincy Institute, and they're not isolationists, but they're prioritizers. And there's a book by Barry Post, and it kind of gives their ideology, and they talk about prioritizing China or the Western Hemisphere. He goes to a think tank which is very much against the Middle Eastern wars, and he gives a speech about putting a pro-Israel spin on America first and justifying the relationship with Israel on the basis of missile defense or arming them to fight Iran or integrating them into an Abraham alliance that can kind of share the responsibilities in the Middle East. And that was like a very intentional signal. He was signaling allegiance and loyalty to the Israel lobby.
Well, it was double-edged. He says, we're going to officially get out of the Middle East, but we'll back Israel as the proxy.
Right. And, you know, and I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, because I don't think that that's even possible. And I think that this year has sort of shown the limitations of that idea, because Trump is trying to extricate us from the region and Netanyahu wants us to fight Iran. And so I don't know how simple that is to say, well, we're just going to hand it off to Israel. I think Israel's always going to kind of need our help and they're always going to demand more. So it's just, it's a question. And I think that Vance, he's acutely aware of the fact that public sentiment is turning against Israel, and that's why he didn't condemn Tucker. That's why when he was asked about it, he actually went and quote tweeted some Jewish journalist who was attacking Buckley, Tucker's son, who works for Vance in the press office. That was a very telling response. And so now Vance is pivoting, and now he's signaling to the Groyper-aligned Gen Z or the Groyper-aligned millennials and Xers who are very critical of Israel, and I think that's a very strategic choice. I guess the question is in 28.
Well, I don't think there's a think. It's not about tooting your horn, because, you know, it's a wave you rode in on, but you were so much of the wave as well. You didn't just surf in. You were a big part of the wave. I can tell you, I've met with people at the highest levels of government, highest levels of tech, and they want to talk about you. The door closes, and I have these private meetings. I'm not selling out to folks. I have these meetings. And they want to talk about you. So we come back. I want to talk about where this goes, how you see this unfolding, and how weird it is in your 10 years being involved in politics to now be already right at the top of it, and how surreal that is, and how you're going to use your power for what? I just want to stabilize stuff. I want to educate the public. It's fun to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but it's fun to have conflict to get more power. But the more power I got, the more I learned to, like, Use it very, very wisely for stability. We'll be right back with Infowars Cortez.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it. Or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months. However you said it, and then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical-grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione. And just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
This is very paradoxical. I mean, I want Trump to succeed. I know he's way better than Kamala Harris. But if he doesn't take down the deep state, if he doesn't prosecute the criminals, if he doesn't dismantle it, then they're just going to come back in a couple of years even more vengeful than ever, as they promised to do. So Nick Fuentes is our guest here talking about this. Nick, looking at the Democrats, looking at the globalists, looking at everything they're doing, we have Islam going into its expansionist phase, which it's done many times in its history. Gets about 10% into a country, and then it acts friendly, then it attacks. It's allied with the left. And whereas I don't want to exterminate people of Gaza, I also don't want to bring them here. How do you split the baby here on the radical left, globalist, Soros, Rothschild, combine, UN, allied with the Muslims? And then obviously I'm upset too as well about Israel meddling in our affairs. It becomes a kind of binary thing where you're supposed to pick either side. And I've said this, I don't want to jump into a pit of rattlesnakes or water moccasins or cobras. It's really become polarizing. How do you see the future world system, the different power blocks that are out there?
Well, in terms of the Muslims, I continue to believe this is really not a major problem for the United States. Just in terms of pure numbers, Muslims are about 1% of the United States and concentrated in a few enclaves like in Minneapolis and in Dearborn. And of course, there's a lot of them in New York, and there's even some in Chicago and Texas. There's a big story about that grand mosque they're trying to build. And of course, I don't like that. But even in the context of the demographic problem, the biggest immigrant groups into the United States in the past 30 years, it's Mexicans, Indians, Chinese, Northern Triangle, Filipino, like those are the major groups. And so if you're talking about America changing demographically or culturally, it's a Latin American and an Asian problem. It's a Chinese and an Indian problem. In Europe, that is where they have a Muslim problem. That is where they have Pakistanis and Middle Easterners and Africans pouring in by the millions, and they represent most of the non-white population in those places. And so there, I think that's totally true, and it's a real problem. Over here in the United States, I think that is basically a deflection. I think that any time that somebody talks about our Jewish elite, because we do have Jewish oligarchs like Larry Ellison and Mary Madelson and others, every time somebody talks about that, we get someone like Laura Loomer screaming about the Muslim Brotherhood and Mark Levin screaming about Qatar and talking about the Muslim call to prayer. And I'm with you in the sense that, of course, I don't want a Muslim invasion of the United States. It's also something that's not really happening in large numbers. And I also think that is something that is sort of trotted out. It's sort of like, look over here. It's a big diversion. And so, you know, in New York, it makes sense because you've got Zohran Mamdani becoming the mayor. But let's be honest. I mean, a lot of the people that supported him, I think it was like 60% of Jewish people under the age of 30 voted for Mamdani. Like, an actually alarmingly high number.
Yeah, but doesn't that go to people claiming the Jews are all one big block? Most of them are total leftist communists self-hating.
No, because I don't think they're one block, and I think that most people wouldn't say that. I think people would say that they have a lot of influence, though. And the common denominator, whether they're left-wing, right-wing, whether they're Israeli or they're in the diaspora, it's that they have this ethnic self-interest. And so, to me, the Muslim thing is just like a complete non-issue in the United States as of right now. I think it's the definition of scaremongering, basically, because it's more foreign. And people like to bring that up because it's a different religion, different civilization, different alphabet. They like to bring that up to basically scaremonger and short circuit rationality. Because what everybody's watching is that Netanyahu is going to make his fifth visit to the White House. And we're bombing Somalia, and we're bombing Syria, and we're bombing Lebanon and Gaza and Iran. And, you know, we're doing all these things. We're shutting down the universities. In Northwestern here in Evanston, they say that you have to take like a pro-Israel training course to get admitted in the university. And I look at the Israelis very similarly to how I look at the Muslims. Different alphabet, different civilization, history of hatred and animosity against the West. I look at them basically the same, and they actually have all the cards. They seem to have far more influence than the Muslims. To the extent that Muslims have influence, well, they're bribing the Trump government. I mean, you got to lay the blame at the feet of the Trump government, which is you know, probably taking bribes. It's true from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia. What do you call it when Trump goes on that tour and then they bring the Saudis over here and they're going to make Saudi a major non-NATO ally and they're going to give a defense guarantee to Qatar. I mean, that's where I would train my fire if I was even going to begin to talk about the Muslim issue. It's not a demographic problem. It's a bribery problem. And, you know, the Israelis are somewhat correct about that. They exaggerate it, but that's definitely real, and that's definitely happening.
Sure, well, that's my point. It's not just Israel manipulating us. It's the China, it's the Muslims, it's the EU, it's the globalists, it's BlackRock, exactly, all of it. So it's all healthy to look at it all. I remember my question before we went to break, and I forgot it. We'll go back to this. So what has it been like for you in your 10 years of politics to now have somebody come in January of this year and try to kill you? To be demonized, all of the news, to have Chuckie Schumer saying they want to pass a resolution against you. What is that like at 26, 27 years old?
Unfortunately for me, it's nothing new. I've been dealing with this for 10 years, and I've just been dealing it with now at a much higher level. As I've gained more notoriety and more infamy, I'm just dealing with it on a greater scale. And I would say that... for me, it's nothing new, but it should shock people because it reminds you that we really don't actually have an open society or a free political system. Everybody thinks that we do because we have the First and Second Amendment, and we have a general culture of permissiveness and licentiousness, and it's a pretty liberal society. But you tend to realize that the moment that you attack the foundations of our political order, which is this like civil rights thing, which was created
in the
60s.
That's right. You got free speech and do all sorts of horrible stuff. But the minute you go after power, you don't have it. They're coming after you.
Exactly. And you know about this as well. You know about this better than anybody, which is you get a level of influence and power and you're independent. You're not, you did not get approved by the gatekeepers. You're not backed by, you know, money and corporations, big advertisers, whatever. If you are independent and you have influence and you start saying things that are against one of these major factions or the people that run the country, then they destroy you and they don't play fair. It's open political warfare. They manipulate and bend the rules of the system, and it's lawfare or it's a smear campaign. They hire a private investigator. They try to get blackmail on you. Project Veritas just came out. I think it was last week, and they said that the DOJ, it was Bill Barr, someone associated with Bill Barr.
Bill Barr's daughter targeting Candace Owens.
Exactly. And saying we need to get blackmail. Exactly, on Candace Owens. So whether it's a defamation suit against you or blackmail against Candace Owens or, you know, the many hit pieces about me promoted on Influenceable, calling me a Fed, simultaneously while I'm being attacked by the federal government, they have a full menu, a full spectrum of options, and you realize you don't really have freedom. And that's why, you know, I think James O'Keefe actually had a great clip about this from, you know, now he's at OMG, O'Keefe Media Group. He said, what is the truth worth to you? He said, the price has to be your life, because if it isn't, they will buy you out. They will threaten you. They will intimidate you. And this is why we don't have sovereignty. This
well,
is why we don't have...
Well, you made this point about the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. We have the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hire one of our employees, been here for 10 years, infiltrate, jack into all the cameras for a year, found nothing corrupt watching us. We don't have, like, in the rooms, but in the hallways and outside. And they just publish it all. Totally illegal, totally criminal. We're filing suit on them, like probably within a week, all of them. But civil rights violations, conspiracy against rights, all around the DOJ. But I saw you on a clip from you a few days ago. I don't know when you did it, but I watched a live show sometimes using these clips. You were explaining, like, they go through and they hire these people, and they, like Jared Holt, and they just, and then they contact everybody in your family, everybody you know. They find somebody to then pay them off to go lie about you. I mean, this is people, and we're not playing victim here. You need to know how nasty these people are. And people say, oh, why don't more people stand up? Because when you come prominent, folks, they literally come after you and stalk the living hell out of you.
You're so right that it isn't about victimization, because I get that a lot. I talk about these things and people say, oh, you're playing the victim, or, oh, you know, you're complaining. And you're right. It's about explaining the anatomy of our political system, which is when there is dissent, when you go against the system, this is how, you know, in almost like, It's like a blueprint in excruciating detail. This is how they will escalate it. This is how they will respond to that. And this is how they operate. It's nonprofits funded by billionaires and in some cases even funded by Congress, funded by the State Department. And they're hired for the sake of, you know, they call it information war. They call it, you know, countering extremism, countering domestic violent extremism. You know, they have all these different jargon, technological ways of describing it. But the goal is basically to suppress anybody that gains influence and is against the system. And you're right. They have a menu of options like that, whether it's they pull up the clips and they're going to use that to attack your reputation, or they're going to find an angle. They're going to find a plaintiff and they're going to bring a case against you, which is what happened in your case. Or they'll just straight up kill you, which, you know, who knows what happened in my house a year ago or what happened to Charlie Kirk for that matter, or what happened to a lot of these different people. That's how they operate. And people just need to understand that something is fundamentally wrong with the society. So, I mean, to me, that having done this for 10 years, that's kind of the stark realization. That's what shocks people the most. Because I do these interviews with young guys and even older people in the political system, and you tell them what happens, like, I can't get a bank account. I was on the no-fly list, and they don't believe it. And the first response you should...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say their first response is, well, you should sue. You should, you know, you should file a lawsuit. That shouldn't be legal. And they have no idea. It's like you're going up against people that have limitless resources. That's the whole point. They have literally unlimited money to throw at the best law firms, or it's the government and they're funded by the taxpayer. And so people just have no clue.
So let me raise this. It's not working anymore. Populists are winning all over the planet. People are going super hardcore against the establishment. A, do you agree with that? And then B, does the establishment realize how much trouble they're in? And then C, I've been sent this article like three times with people the last day. Not this one, the one before. Oh, Nick Fuentes is two-faced. Nick Fuentes says one thing on one show, one thing on another. No, I say stuff. They take it out of context. And they say, oh, look, but he said this over here. I know what you do. Sometimes you make jokes and stuff, take it out of context. But now they're going with this thing of like, he's deceiving people because you have, you know, these multiple faces. And they've tried that with me as well. You want to explain that?
Yeah, I saw that in the Free Press. I couldn't even read it because it's behind a paywall. But I've been getting this for 10 years. It used to be on my Wikipedia page. And they would say he uses jokes and irony to conceal his real viewpoints. He really is a Nazi, but you'd never know it because he acts like a really nice guy and has reasonable viewpoints when you talk to him on a show. And it's almost like you have to then go back and explain the concept of like jokes or context. And, you know, Ben Shapiro did this a couple weeks ago. He played some of my clips on his stream and every single one was about 4 seconds. I think the average duration of the clips he played was between 4 and 6 seconds. I do a 3-hour stream 5 nights a week for 10 years. And what happens in a show is everybody knows.
Newsflash. If you're ever watching a show, my show, anybody's, and you're seeing 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds, you're being deceived. That's why the average clip we play is like 3 minutes. Folks, that is the ultimate way to deceive. And they've done that over and over again. Expand on that.
We're so right, and it should go without saying, because divorced from context, you can make anything sound like anything.
They would play like 4-second clips.
I remember it well. And, you know, it's no different than when you take something which is being said in jest and then you read out the transcript. And so they'll take a clip where I'm laughing and grinning and I'm being funny. And I might even say at the other side of it, I might say, no, I'm just kidding. Obviously, blah, blah, blah. But when you cut that out and then read the transcript, they say, this guy's he's pro-rape, pro-genocide, pro-Hitler, blah, blah, blah. And then they say, if you go on a show.
I saw you a few months ago, and even some of the Groypers to score points did it. You were like explaining, and maybe we're wrong now. You're like, look, there's no evidence Israel killed Kirk. If there is, we'll expose it. We don't know yet. And you people saying I work for Israel are idiots, and you're low IQ, and you're morons. Maybe I'll just join the Jews, because at least they're organized. you were being sarcastic. They all went crazy and said, oh, God, he works for the Jews. It's like, no, it's the point of making the issue. Like, am I on the wrong team? You people are so dumb. So exactly. But even they still ran with it because it's this cheap trick thing. I would never take a 5-second clip just to, you know, just to have a big hit and lie about somebody because I don't want to be discredited. I want to actually be honest, but it's really a big problem.
It's a huge problem, and the good news is I think people are starting to wake up because I see these kind of out-of-context clips, and I see all the comments are saying, oh, nice, you edited down to 8 seconds. What's that all about? So I think people are starting to become aware. That being said, I don't think that will ever go out of fashion because the vast majority of people have such a limited attention span and are quick to judge and everything like that. It's just a tragedy. The comments is just how people are. Tragedy of the masses of the goy. You know, that's just how they operate. So on some level, we're always going to have that. But I think people are starting to smarten up and see what's going on because that kind of stuff just doesn't have the same currency anymore. And I think that we should play the same game. You know, we do the same thing. The difference is we take people at their word. When Mark Levin goes up at RJC, which he did a few weeks ago, and he says, you know, well, we're going to make our decisions. We're going to see who's associating with who, and we cancel people all the time. It's like, okay, so we're going to take that clip, and we're going to blow it up everywhere. And the difference is that is true to what you're actually saying and actually believe.
The difference is it's a two-minute clip. Yeah, it's in context. So let me raise that point. How pathetic is it for Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, who literally have 5% of their previous audience, they even admit that, what must it be like with all their billionaire backers to know the whole world's turned against them and instead they double down and become a stereotype?
It has to be very sad. I can't imagine what it's like working in one of those offices, a Daily Wire, because you got to remember, and I know you do, Mark Levin and Shapiro, these guys were on top 10 years ago. Certainly Mark Levin, you had a huge radio show.
Yeah, they were supporting Four Shots. They were supporting Taking Me Off the Air. I'll never forget it.
Oh, and every war you can imagine and the rhinos and everything. And Shapiro was supposed to be the wonder kid. He was supposed to be the next generation. And now you look at their show. I think I watched a Daily Wire live stream. It was a four-way stream with all their hosts, Walsh, Knowles, Klavan, Shapiro. And I think put together they had 1,000 concurrent viewers, 1,000 on YouTube with their millions of subscribers, all the channels simultaneously streaming. They couldn't get 1,000 concurrent viewers. And you got to say, wow, I mean, how far they have fallen. So it's got to be very depressing. And all they know how to do is double down. This would be the opportunity where you debate someone like me or you go to Turning Point and you debate Tucker, like whatever.
Yeah, let's raise
this
that. Remember
the moment.
Like, I'm bigger than you, Tucker. I won't legitimize you. Tucker's like 50 times bigger. I'm not going to debate you. Like how cowardly to not go debate him and then say, because Tucker said what Israel's done is illegal. He goes, how dare you threaten my stepson? If I see you in person, I'm going to kick your ass. Didn't say anything about a stepson. He sounds completely unhinged.
They are unhinged, and that's because they don't know how to do anything other than double down. They have not had to defend their positions for probably their entire lives. And they are used to getting away with everything and being above scrutiny and above skepticism. They didn't have to defend their position. And in the past, all they would do is these kinds of word games that we've all figured out now and the doubling down, more aggressive, more intensity, and you know, they're throwing out that old playbook and it just isn't working anymore. So I actually, sir, it would be pitiable if they weren't the worst people in the world. And by that, I mean these people like Levin and Shapiro, who are so nasty and so hateful. I mean, honestly, the most hateful people in the country. It would be sad if they didn't act like that. So, you know, I think they're finished. I don't know where the next audience is. Even if they engage in censorship, even if they engage in some of these kind of convoluted things that they're trying to do now, I don't know what audience under the age of 75 is ever going to watch Mark Levin ever again, or what audience under the age of 35 or 40 is going to watch Shapiro. I just think it's cooked. And once the toothpaste comes out of the tube, it doesn't go back in. So the idea that people are going to come back around because Matt Walsh and Shapiro are talking about McDonald's and Burger King or AI, it just isn't going to happen. So, you know, that's why I think they really either need to engage And they need to admit, okay, we lost the country. We're going to have to humbly engage them and persuade them to get it back and make an argument. And that might hasten their demise.
But also, everybody, because here's my deal. You and I both, without even talking, a few days after Kirk's killed, we're like, we can't say Israel did it. Whole thing looks suspicious. Let's figure it out. Then you have Levin and all them saying, watch out. We're going to get you. We're going to take, you know, all these other bizarre, threatening statements. And then you have to start asking, well, then maybe people are right to say that. But look at this. ISI invited students to dinner with Alex Jones and Tucker. You have Levin. This is just today. Like he said he would do 2 weeks ago, running around policing a college. Showed my interview at dinner with young conservatives with Tucker a month and a half ago, and they're literally freaking out, calling for them all to basically be thrown out of college. I mean, doesn't he know the Streisand effect of that? Like, he's picking on college students because they watched an interview with me and Tucker that was all about Russia and China. It wasn't really about Israel. This is crazy power tripping here. This will make all the students even more want to watch us.
I would say that. I think there's definitely some truth to that because people are going to see this and say this. It's going to turn a lot of people against Levin and Shapiro and that crowd. Here's what I will say, though. As long as they hold all the cards, this will work. And Ross Douthat at New York Times, he said it explicitly in the New York Times a few weeks ago. You know, he's ostensibly a conservative. He said, how do we fight Nick Fuentes and the Groypers? He said, well, we've already lost the social media battle. We're not going to have control over censorship and blacklisting in the way that we did 5 years ago. He said, so that's over. We need to retreat. He said, what we can control is these bottlenecks. He said, we can control who is hired, who is promoted, who is accepted inside the institutions of power. So he said, that is where we still have influence. That is where we can still have some degree of gatekeeping power. So he said, we can control who works in think tanks, who works in congressional offices, who works on campaigns. And I would imagine that also extends to who gets to be in college, who gets to be at these college Republicans.
But what's amazing is, I agree, he said that, I remember you covering it, but this is a major strategic retreat.
It is. It certainly is. But my point is, we have to press the advantage with precision, because a lot of people are going to fall back and say, oh, well, this is going to backfire. They're just making people hate them more. And they'll say, oh, it's a Streisand effect. So we're winning. And I would say we need to, if they're retreating, we need to press the advantage and say, all the more reason, get in college Republicans, get on campaigns, get in the congressional offices, the think tanks, ISI. Hide your power level. They're going to retreat back to that. We have to storm and break down that wall too and penetrate the inner sanctum, because that they're guarding it because that's where the treasure is. They're guarding it because that's where the power is. So I totally agree with you. It's a huge retreat, huge tactical defeat on their part, but it's not enough to now say, oh, okay, well, the genie doesn't go back in the bottle. We won the argument. Everyone's against them. We now need the right people in the right places, and those are the places they're trying to gatekeep and defend.
No, I agree. If you look at William F. Buckley, the CIA and all of it, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they went in to take over the colleges to control conservatism. So they're basically retreating into the neocons back to their first redoubt. Like you said, like a ring city, they're going back to their final fortress. I just wish to bypass the whole thing, just make it about Americana, free market, America first, and just not have it about a fight about that. But they're making it about that. And so regardless, as long as we press the attack, what do they do? Do they ever capitulate, or they just get more and more radical?
It's hard to say. It's unpredictable. And I think that so far they've shown their hand, which is they only get more radical. I don't see a lot of capitulation at all. And I don't even see a willingness to capitulate. It's like you said, they're actually emotionally unhinged. It's personal for them. You look at a guy like Shapiro and Mark Levin, they're like foaming at the mouth, like they're angry, they're furious. And so I think they're only going to keep doubling down, and I think we have to keep matching their ferocity. Not with hatred and not with violence or cruelty, but we have to match their ferocity with righteousness. And I'm with you. It's got to be about America. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about all the things that we love. But we have to match the intensity
all right,
on the other
Nick
side.
All right, Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Let's come back with other big topics, calls, and comments. Stay with us. Yeah.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew. And Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gilbert, Joel, Chad, Charles, Andrew, Clown Car, Jacob. You were on before, Nick, but these are all topics you can comment on anything, smart guy. We want to hit Venezuela. We want to hit a lot of the other stuff that's happening. But in this short segment, on the trajectory Israel's on, the most unpopular country in the world now, they have nuclear weapons, the sanction option. I don't want to destroy Israel. I just want Israel to stop putting everybody on a collision course, but just looking at where this goes, the doubling down, it doesn't look good for Israel in just a few years. Because I've seen you say, oh, well, the young people are all right-wing or left-wing anti-Israel. It's not just young people. It's massively moving into the middle age and even old people. It's a chain reaction. So looking at this, where do you see Israel in 10 years?
I think it really depends on the outcome of the current conflict, because it would seem that after 2023, they're doing this go for broke, once and for all campaign to destroy all of their enemies, which I think they believe are headquartered in Iran. And so that's Hezbollah, that's the Assad regime, these Shiite groups in Iraq, Syria, and also the Houthis. If they are successful in decapitating the Iranian regime, denuclearizing them, they'll be able to roll back these proxies. And what they're talking about is a significant expansion. Today, Netanyahu came out and said they want a demilitarized zone from Damascus to the Purple Zone. So they want southern Syria. They want southern Lebanon, south of the Litani River. They want the West Bank and Gaza. That's a pretty significant expansion of Israeli territory. And if they're successful in taking out Iran and they're able to get this kind of control over the region, it's going to be enormously profitable for them. It's going to be profitable because they would be the leader of the Abraham Alliance. And so all the AI and the energy revenue, all the sovereign wealth that is in the Gulf, it's going to flow into Israel. They'll be the leader. And they'll also benefit from the trade routes, from the Belt and Road, from the India, Middle East, Europe corridor. So I think that one pathway is that they could be extremely successful if they're able to make this happen. The other path, if they're not able to diminish Iran, is that you're right, they're going to be completely ostracized. They have earned no goodwill from any of their neighbors or the rest of the world. Turkey is against them. Saudi Arabia is unhappy with them. Qatar got bombed by them. And if Iran remains in power, like, there's never going to be a reconciliation between those countries. And of course, now they're alienated with Americans and they're not going to count on that unconditional support. So I think that it really all goes down to whether they're going to be successful, because if they're not, they're going to be in real trouble and they're going to have to repair all those relations over time. And it's going to cost them a lot of political capital. Even Egypt is unhappy with them. I forgot to throw that one in there. So I would say that right now the jury is still out. And this is why I'm very deeply concerned about what is happening with the Trump administration, because Israel knows the stakes. Netanyahu knows the stakes. The people, and whether Netanyahu stays or goes, whether he gets his pardon or not, the next prime minister will know it too. And the question is there enough of an understanding in the Trump administration, enough energy and pushback that they're going to be able to restrain Israel and keep them from kind of driving the traffic here for the United States. So that,
sure,
that's
kind
of my general opinion.
General, though, in all the demographics, Israel, the most unpopular country in the world, it's getting worse by the minute. How do they respond to that?
Increasingly, I think that they're decoupling from the United States. This is why even they say they don't want the foreign aid anymore. They want a 20-year memorandum of understanding. And they're going to, like all the other middle powers, they're going to have to play both sides, I think. They're going to have to play China, India off of the United States, which is what the other countries do. It's what Saudi Arabia does. It's what Turkey does. It's what Brazil does. And I think that's kind of treacherous, but this is how they play. So they're losing support from us. They'll try and pick it up from the other countries. And they're a superpower in their own right. So I don't think they'll have trouble picking up investment or political support from the East, from the other bloc. So I think everybody else, they're...
But back in 60 seconds, and so think about that. Then you have the Christian Zionists that literally say our souls depend on supporting Israel, and Israel's literally laughing at you. It's absolutely insane. Nick Fuentes is our guest. Your calls, your comments, so much more news coming up. 60 seconds. Stay with us. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Believe, and I will always say in public that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of s***.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
So when I say this, this isn't hype. And I'm not glazing Nick Fuentes or trying to puff his ego. He knows this because he goes out in public. I get multiple calls a day from high-powered people. They want me to tell them, you know, is Nick Fuentes good or bad or what's going on with him? And most of the time they go, I heard he's this horrible person that actually went and saw what he said and I agree with him. I mean, even take Steve Bannon, like, saw his debate with Dinesh D'Souza, and I like Dinesh, you know, Dinesh 25 years. Wiped the floor with him. Dinesh had a bunch of talking points, and I know all the Middle Eastern stuff, and I know the countries, and I know everything Nick said was true, but, you know, his knowledge comes and goes. I mean, I couldn't muster up 10% of what he does. Of course, he's 26, so he's got that young brain. but I know he's right, and Steve Bannon does. So you got to give respect where it's due. And Nick didn't support it when I got censored. Everybody else basically did. So, but I did call Nick about a month before Kirk got killed, and I said, I don't know the whole conversation, but I said, let me tell you, you and Charlie Kirk are the future. And I said, I'm not a cowardly person. I don't live in fear. I just said, I have a feeling. I said, you need to be very, very careful. And you need to really watch yourself and don't put yourself in danger for no reason. And, you know, Nick, listen to me. But I just have an understanding of the zeitgeist. I always have. And it's so healthy what Nick's done. You know, people try to guilt me having Nick Fuentes on. Every time I have him on, I get hundreds of emails, calls. What are you doing having Hitler on? And I made the joke, maybe Hitler when he was in with Kanye. And I'm just like, look at this compilation. In fact, I said I'd get to this. Let's play this before we get into the other stuff in your calls. A couple days ago, Elon Musk put this out. And it's, I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's like, you know, 5 minutes of headlines. Mainstream news saying whites are inherently degenerate, our genetics are bad, we're scum, we should be eradicated. And I have all the videos of the professors and them saying it. And so you can't point your finger at Nick Fuentes then and say because he stands up for himself, he's bad. But he's mild compared to other people. But that's why they don't like him, is because he's intellectually defeating them. I mean, Hitler was a race-based monopolist, eugenics person. But he didn't publicly say all this stuff. The left goes further than Hitler in their declaration of war against white people. Now, I tell you, I got black listeners, Hispanic listeners, everybody. I love them. They love me. And what's crazy is they see Nick and they get it because they actually watch Nick and what he says rather than what they say Nick said. But it really is the David versus Goliath story. To watch them throw everything they've got at Nick, and he just gets stronger. And I'll say this. I always admire people who I know have gone through what I've gone through and gone through, in some cases, worse things than I have, and you know, myself, other things. But it's the fellow traveler thing. And it's so exciting to be persecuted and to know God's real and come through it. But Nick, what is it? Coming out of BlackRock, coming out of the leftist Jewish lobby, all of it, that is anti-European, what is it? Why does it keep happening? And don't they know that it was going to conjure? They're lucky they got a Nick Fuentes. In fact, even Tucker said, they said, you know, he's pretty moderate and smart and intellectual. There's things you think Nick Fuentes is dangerous. There's a lot more dangerous things you're conjuring up. I mean, I can imagine. It's like some right-wing Islamic alliance or something in the future. I mean, it's crazy that these people go for total power. They see anything else that's successful as a threat. Whereas if something's successful, I just want to work with it and adopt it and be part of it. I don't get mad, you know, that somebody's got something better than what I've got. I just want to be part of it. And I can see if I was refused and rebuffed it. But that's a long rant, though. But what is it like to persevere and come through all this? So I have a few peers. You're definitely one of them, and way younger than I. So I just, it's amazing. Because at 26, I had a big show, but nothing like the six you've had. So it's very paradoxical because there's very few people that have done what I've done, and then you've done stuff even more at your age. I just have told you, you need to keep yourself alive, buddy. Because let me tell you, this is a serious situation. So that's quite a rant there. It's a lot of questions there. How do you respond to it?
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and likewise, you know, over the years, we've had sort of a strange relationship, over many different issues and things, like when we did Yay 24 and a lot of different things. And I know that we have our disagreements. I think we generally agree on most things, though. And I know that some of your people criticize me. Some of my people criticize you. But I think there's always been a mutual respect because we're both on the same journey, in a sense. We're both taking the hits, and we've both been kind of through the gamut of what they've thrown at us. And I think you weigh more than me, the way they're coming for your company. And this $1 billion lawsuit is totally insane. So I totally agree with that. As far as where the right wing is headed with the anti-white stuff and how I feel about it, I started my show 10 years ago. because as the youngest guy, as the 18-year-old, now I'm not even the youngest guy. I'm a younger guy, but I'm not the youngest. But as an 18-year-old coming of age during the Trump election and the rise of the alt-right, and really at the, I would say at the peak of wokeness, which is synonymous with anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-straight white male, people my age at that time just had our finger on the pulse. We said our entire life we had been indoctrinated with this diversity stuff. And increasingly it was becoming less pro-black and brown and much more anti-white. And people forget how bad it was. I mean, I have to remind people, I have to remind myself that in 2017, it felt like history was moving in one direction and nothing on earth could change its course. And it was going to be more anti-white, more anti-male, more anti-Christian, more degenerate. And it did keep going in that direction for many years. It went from pro-gay to pro-trans. It went from, you know, pro-black to this BLM insanity. Everything was getting worse. And I remember at that time, it straight up radicalized me because I said, anti-white, hey, I'm white and I'm proud to be white and white people built the country. All the kind of stuff that is mainstream now, back then it was super controversial to say something is wrong here. Like, why is it okay to only attack white people and say white people should have fewer kids, they're going extinct and that's a good thing. They're going to become a minority and then Republicans can never win again. I said, this is shocking and outrageous and it seems like no one's talking about it. I distinctly remember realizing that whites would become a minority in America and thinking about the political ramifications first, thinking about how that would empower Democrats forever. And I remember thinking, am I the only one who has discovered this? Like, why isn't anyone doing anything about this? I remember reading like Ann Coulter and Pat Buchanan and those people at that time and saying, there has to be surely some effort by Republicans to reverse this or fight it. And it just wasn't happening. I had to go out and do it myself. And I did that by supporting the Trump movement and then making it a little edgier, a little bit more radical.
Do you think there's a second, third order thing with the social engineers, or were they that arrogant to think this wouldn't have a backlash? Because now the backlash is so powerful, I know they're scared.
I think it really was arrogance. And maybe you would ascribe more of an intention behind it than I would. But I think at that time it was just straight up hubris because the left was totally dominant and they controlled Hollywood and they controlled the media and the Republican Party was a horrible brand. You know, in 2014, who wanted to be a Republican? Nobody. The Republican Party was corny and stodgy and lame and people thought it represented the rich and like crazy evangelicals. I mean, that's what Hollywood would say about it. It was a horrible brand. Even Republicans didn't like it. And then Trump came around in 16 and turned all that on its head because he's a celebrity billionaire, objectively cool. And he basically took the Republican Party and made it the winning brand and defeated the Democrats.
And now he's given up so much of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's forfeited that. You know, but so no, I think that they really just got too cocky and they made a lot of unforced errors. And they gave up the game to Trump. And over 12 years, 10, 12 years, Trump is totally...
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've noticed that. So you talk about it. Have you seen the record numbers of black people, Hispanics, and others that listen to you and me that actually get it? I mean... I have, yeah. What's going on there?
Well, I think that, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of people that
I think it's a sense of fairness.
I don't know that it's fairness. I think it's more that they're not woke. Honestly, I think that blacks and browns are not woke like white people are. And by that, I mean, if you and I...
They're not into the guilt. They're not into the leftist religion.
Well, the guilt and the sensitivity, you know, like with white people, if you say something racist, sexist, homophobic, you know, beta males and white women are going to freak out. They're going to say, what did you just say? I can't believe you... And I think that brown and black people just don't have that because black people have been used to doing whatever they want forever and they could say whatever they want and do whatever they want. And so when a white guy kind of gives them the same energy, like, hey, I'm not one of these woke tards, they love it. And I think Hispanics is the same way. And they're also pretty conservative. Like from, I know that's like a meme, but it's true that Hispanics and blacks have always been very socially conservative. They're
not the communists got pissed. They couldn't get the blacks to become communists in this country.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, blacks are socialist, but they're not down with this, like, LGBT feminist stuff. They're not down with the pronoun. Like, they're not with that. And yeah, they want more government programs, like they think everything should be free, but they also don't want to be preached to by some like white Jewish liberal woman or some like white beta male bisexual guy. Like they don't want to deal with that kind of thing. And I think, you know, maybe they don't agree with me on everything, but they say, oh, I like this guy because he doesn't care. Like he doesn't care about the political correctness. In many ways, that's why they respect Trump. They kind of just respect someone that's a G, you know, someone that doesn't care as much about that stuff. So I think it's an attitude maybe that they like.
Do you think Hakeem Jeffries realizes how much trouble he's in?
Maybe they're in trouble. Then again, maybe they're going to take back the House. Maybe they're going to run the government in 2028. I don't know. So I think it really could go either way. It depends on where the Republican Party takes it.
So let's do this. If you were President Trump right now, what would you do?
If I'm President Trump, I'm going to deport everybody. I'm going to restrain Israel. I'm going to force them to end all the hostility. And I know they achieved this deal in Gaza, but that's not over by a long shot. And then I would do something with the affordability crisis. You got to address healthcare, infrastructure, jobs. I don't know what that looks like in terms of like a full spectrum approach. I would articulate a trade doctrine that's stable and predictable so that investment can start flowing, money can increase its velocity. But you really got to start to think more about the economy. I would drop the war in Venezuela and I'd refocus on the war against poverty in America. In other words, I would put the people first. I would listen. And what the people said in this off-year election is we want affordability. You know, there's so many bellwethers here about where the economy is. There's a housing bubble. The Black Friday spending, even though the volume was high in terms of the number of people participating was much lower. People are buying on credit. They're doing this, you know, pay later stuff. And then you have the jobs report from October, which they're not even releasing. Allegedly, we lost 50,000 jobs. If you don't count the data centers, there's been no job growth at all. And so the signs are there. We're in trouble. Bitcoin is crashing. I would really get back to the drawing board on what we're doing with trade.
No,
and
I agree.
What we're doing
the polls show they don't like Trump saying everything's wonderful. We fixed inflation. No, you didn't. He's doing fixes that take time. Stop saying it's fixed. That's the thing that pisses people off. Now let's shift gears before we go to calls into Somalia. You wanted to get into that. Trump, during his cabinet meeting just an hour ago, Trump on Somalia immigrants. Here's what he had to say.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I can say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country.
Wow.
Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage.
Wow.
Her friends are garbage.
Wow.
These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go. Come on. Let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much.
Wow, he ended the event with that. So I might just air that on loop tomorrow for 4 hours. That's the Trump we want. Don't be politically correct. Stop bowing down. Do what he just did. Nick, that was powerful. That's the old Trump. That's the old Trump 2.0. What do you make of that?
Yeah, where's this guy been for the past 5 years? I think that's what everybody's thinking. I love it. And he hit every note because it's so true. These people come from a broken country. They come here and they mess up our country. Everybody knows they don't contribute. And for all the statistics,
and they run
people
us down
say, well,
how we're the scum of the earth constantly. Well, then get the fuck out of here.
Well, and that's the best part. They come here from a horrible country. They don't contribute. And then they're not even grateful. There's no gratitude. There's no reverence. There's no appreciation. And he's right. Ilhan Omar, that other one that just ran for mayor, they're not loyal to America. They don't even like America. And he's right. All they do is whine and complain. I love that he says, all they do is bitch. That's true. That's all they do. And we don't want them here. Does anybody think America's made better by a bunch of Somalian immigrants? We don't want them here. It's just not a good idea. Don't need them.
And it's so healthy to start differentiating and bring back common sense. That was so revolutionary. Wow.
It is, but now we need to see something done about it. They need to go into Minneapolis and liberate the city, because otherwise it's all talk. Okay, it's a great statement. You know, that's what everybody wanted to say. It's very cathartic. It's like, you know, I feel good when I hear that. But if in 3 years Minneapolis is still Somalian, I'm going to say WTF. What happened then?
By the way, you know both the cops they hired that were Somali non-citizens killed people and lost their jobs within a few months?
Really?
I'm sorry about Somalis, folks. Let me just be honest. They literally admit it is a culture of slavery and piracy.
Well, and it's them. It's the Haitians. It's like, hey, remember the Haitians in Springfield? We don't want these people. Like, these are probably the two worst countries on earth, Haiti and Somalia. They don't have a functioning government. Somalia does not and has not had a legitimate central government in decades, and neither does Haiti. And yet we're bringing these people into the Midwest. Why? Why are we bringing them to Ohio and Minnesota? Well, they're bringing them in because they have a functional welfare state. They're bringing them in because you have good health care in Ohio and Minnesota, bringing them in because you have a generous welfare state. And we're waiting for the president, the actual President Trump, that is going to take them and remove them from the country completely. But, I'm not confident that that's going to happen. I'm waiting for the day when they send in ICE by the tens or hundreds of thousands, and they literally just take them all out. And one day you wake up and Minneapolis is no longer under Somalian occupation. I don't think that's going to happen, but it needs to. And so that's where I hear a statement like that, and you go, okay, so clearly you still have it in you. You know what we want to hear. You know what we want you to do. The 2016 Trump never left. You just need to flip a switch. But now you need to deliver. And so if you can deliver all these other things, deliver this, do what you need to do, but like make it happen, because if you remove these people, they're not coming back. If you take these people out of the country, you can violate every federal judge injunction, every Supreme Court ruling, whatever. If you just take these people and physically remove them, they're not coming back. Just do it and pardon yourself. Do it and pardon your people. But we just have to start getting them out.
And by the way, you're putting them into a wonderland. They all say how great Somalia is. You're doing them a favor.
Yeah, they're so proud, right? I mean, they're so proud of their culture and their heritage, and they're so much better than us. So let's just do them a favor. We'll get them a nice military cargo plane ride right back, and then we're going to slam the door shut so they're never tempted to return. I just want to see it happen. And it's frustrating that, you know, when you hear that, do you realize it? It's like, it's very pleasing to hear, but you also realize, oh, so Trump knows exactly what to say and exactly what to do. He's just not doing it every other day and 90% of the other times when it's not happening. So that's where it's sort of bittersweet.
No, I agree, but I'm starting to see a pivot though. I think he's starting to swing back because he knows his poll numbers are in the toilet.
Well, I'm not going to say that until he delivers. I think this is what he does, which is he says these things and people go, oh, here we go. We're going to get that old Trump back. And it buys him another 6 months. And it's 6 months of letdown, 6 months of disappointment. I hope you're right. I hope he pivots and turns it around.
Well, they are having giant raids in Minneapolis right now.
Are they? How many people are being removed? I don't think
it's thousands.
They're talking about doing that.
No, it started. No, it just started. But here's the thing. Biden all gave him amnesty. Trump's revoking it.
Well, he's revoking their protected status so they could be deported. But we actually have to put them on the planes and get them out. But we're just not seeing those numbers. It's 300,000
for the
year.
But in fairness, you know, the judges have been blocking it. I mean, they have ramped up enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, they're... they're training more people, they're hiring more people, but the numbers are still so low. The average is like 1,000 per day. That's nothing. I mean, you need 10,000 a day, realistically, to get even the 10 million under Biden. That's to, just to get us neutral. And then people want to say, what about self-deportations? What about them? We need to literally have massive operations and get these people out. And they say, well, you know, they're obstructing. Okay, like throw all those people in jail too. Wouldn't it be paradise if we woke up in 4 years and we were 10 million less immigrants and all these like left-wing agitators, all these horrible leftists were in prison for attacking ICE and throwing planters in front of their trucks? Like, let's just,
no,
let's
I agree, but
the
that's the Soros judges that are letting them out.
They should just disobey that. They don't have to listen to that. They should just disobey that. The Supreme Court intervened and said, you can't do these nationwide injunctions on every little thing. You got to go full Andrew Jackson and just disobey it. I mean, we're at a critical stage. We're in a crisis. It's time for the government to lay down the law. Time for the executive to execute.
No, I agree. Constitutional crisis time. All right, let's come back. I want to hit Venezuela briefly, and then we're going to take some calls, hit some of the comments and questions for Nick Fuentes. A real discussion. Notice there's been no infighting in this interview. Different personalities attacking each other. That's fun, and that gets ratings, but it doesn't move the needle towards liberty. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man, better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle. with the globalist. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a t-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the IRC moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it, or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
I want to briefly hit Venezuela, but I know you and I have overall agreed on the policy. I don't trust the intelligence agencies to do this, but I get hemispherically this. Like you said, this isn't neoconism, this is realism. But just briefly, and I'm not attacking you. You just make the joke like it's a debate, but it really isn't a debate, so I didn't call it a debate. I remember seeing you like a year ago. You go, you know, Alex talks about Bilderberg Group and the globals, maybe 2 years ago, but he's like, you know, it's really this. But what about the big tech? What about the big banks? What about, you know, all, to me, there's that whole corporate globalist system that obviously Israel's heavily involved in, China and others. But you're a smart guy. You know your geopolitics. So certainly you understand that the heart of the Western globalist power structure is the big corporations. How do we deal with that wild card? I mean, I see Trump putting pressure on BlackRock, at least on the surface. States like Texas winning lawsuits against them for trying to cut our carbon output. I see Trump getting us out of the Paris Accords. That is so huge, getting us out of carbon taxes. That's incredibly positive. I mean, how do you respond to that power block of the overall globalist corporations?
Well, I mean, when you look at Trump, he's a pro-Wall Street candidate. I mean, he cut the corporate tax rate in 17. He extended the corporate tax cut again this year. And you look at the donors, you get Ken Griffin backing him. You got Tim Mellon, a banker, giving him $200 million. And who was at his inauguration? It was Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. You know, it was big tech and little tech together. So to me, I look at Trump as basically at this point, a pro-establishment figure. They're not afraid of him. The New York Times, the Washington Post, they don't give him, and no one talks about this, but they do not resist him half as much as they did 10 years ago. In 2016, when Trump ran the first time, you remember, it was brutal every day. The coverage was 99% negative.
No, I totally agree that a lot of the establishment's capitulated, and Trump's danger is looking like establishment when he hasn't yet even won. So let me ask you this then. But the deep state, the Democrats, elements of the CIA, they're all trying color revolution, or you disagree with that? Because they're definitely trying to foam it, don't follow orders. They're definitely trying to set something up. I agree their power is diminished. Who makes up the kind of leftist leftovers?
Well, it's difficult to say because they seem to be very disorganized. And it's hard to say who's on what side at this point. You know, a lot of people came over to the right after October 7th, which is sort of interesting. You know, you had people like Bill Ackman, for example, who was a left-wing guy, now is on the right. He was a left-wing Jewish donor. Now he's on the right because of the whole Israel issue. So the question is, who is really left? I think that they've lost a lot of the institutional Jewish support. USAID got rolled up. So I think a lot of the money that came from the NGOs is drying up. The Trump administration is doing a good job of fighting back against that. So where are their power centers? Well, you could even say that Zuckerberg was a major booster for the Democrats in 20, $300 million from Zuckerberg Chan
million,
Foundation.
Yeah.
He didn't even put money in 24. He sat it out and he did the whole rebrand. He was like a tech bro, changed his look. So you've got Reid Hoffman, you've got Bloomberg, you've got Pritzker, you got Hollywood, and I'm sure there's a lot of holdovers, a lot of stay behinds in the CIA and in the, you know, the State Department and the federal bureaucracy. There are actually
really
still a ton.
But it really is a diminished headless horseman. I agree. It's like a decapitated chicken running around.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it's hard to say who will then emerge and take leadership. Obama allegedly has been orchestrating a ton of meetings in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Over the past week with Susan Rice and Victoria Nuland, for people to know who that is, and
but
a lot of other like neocons.
Of the Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. So they're trying to get it back together.
So you're right, though. We should put all our pressure on Trump. When I asked the question, it was rhetorical at the first. But do it right, not fake stuff. Do real serious stuff like you're doing. You're right. Everything is about the populace we have in, putting pressure on them to stay true, because the left is basically on a suicide mission.
Well, yeah, and I just think that they're not the biggest threat right now. They're pretty disorganized. The biggest threat right now is that we're going to lose the initiative on the right. And what I basically want to do is fortify the right wing in the way that Trump did the first time. Because before Trump took the fight to Clinton, he first had to level the whole conservative movement. He had to fight Fox News with Roger Ailes at the head at the time. And he had to fight, you know, that whole constellation of think tanks that were dominant back then, the consultant class, as well as all the politicians, the Bush dynasty and the donor base.
But it
that
sounds
were
like you're
Rubio.
Saying, in a way, Trump's more dominant than ever, but it's his to lose. Because paradoxically, you also say MAGA's in trouble, which I agree. He's defeated the system on the right wing. He's got control, but now he can sink the ship because he's the captain if he runs into an iceberg.
Exactly. Yeah. Very well said. Yeah. He's slipping. He's slipping. He's losing the initiative. And, you know, and it's an unforced error. Like I said, if we cede economic populism to the left, we're going to open up a door for them to come back. And it'll be hard for the right wing to recover if this administration's a complete disaster. Because a lot of people voted Republican for the first time in 24. A lot of people came over because of the pandemic, because of the Ukraine war, all that
and
kind
Rasmussen
of stuff.
Has found they're now swinging Mondami.
Exactly. So if we blow it this time, we're really going to blow it. You know, the voter registration in Pennsylvania is now going left for the first time in years.
Yeah, Trump needs to act like a rebel and an underdog that he is, not the emperor in a gold gilded cage.
Yeah, he's got to take his prize. I don't get it. Like, we won. We won the election. We won after the persecution. He got shot in the head. Take your prize. Do
By
what
By the way, I predicted that he would not involved with Epstein and sex, but do it for Israel and MI6. And now it's come out in the emails they release. He worked for the Rothschilds, MI6, Mossad. That's always been known, but now it's confirmed. Trump literally wasn't involved with sex and Epstein, but he connected himself now. What a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Why shouldn't he have just released all the files to begin with? Now we get the worst of both worlds. Because all this stuff is coming out about him anyway, and it doesn't look like it's actionable. Doesn't look like he was on the island or anything like that. But, you know, like you said, now he's associated with it, so.
God, it's just advisors that just, briefly, Venezuela, since you were on a few weeks ago, what's your view on it now?
I think we should take a deal with Maduro, honestly. I think that, you know, and who knows what's going to happen at this point. I think it's inevitable there's going to be military action, and Rubio wants to roll up the whole Caribbean. He wants Venezuela to go, then Cuba, then Nicaragua. And if he could pull that off, I mean, it's good. If he could pull that off, that would be an achievement. I mean, we would look back on that and say, wow, like we reoriented the Western Hemisphere.
I could launch a new Vietnam.
Yeah, that's the issue, is it's never that simple, is it? It always sounds tantalizing, like, oh, we're going to take over Iraq and then the whole Middle East will be a democracy. But it never really goes that way, does it? So, you know, Venezuela's not Panama. And we've been trying to take out Maduro for a decade. We've been trying to take out Cuba for half of a century. I don't know that that's all going to come to fruition. So at this point, it's unavoidable. I think we're on a collision course.
Yeah, when do you think Trump starts bombing Venezuela?
I think it'll be within the next couple months, maybe sooner than that. I think that Trump is going to try to give diplomacy a chance. He called Maduro, and Maduro has a choice to make here. Doesn't have a lot of cards to play. So it really comes down to whether Maduro is going to go quietly. But if he doesn't, then I think the bombs are going to start going anytime now within the next couple months.
Absolutely. I want to jam in a few calls here. People find you at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. But, man, I'm a little jealous. I never had the Democrats try to pass a law against me. But you know, a sanction by, in Congress by the Senate, that's most 20. I never heard any 26-year-old having that happen, Nick. Is that, I know you're not on a power trip, it's how you're able to control it, but that, you ever like wake up and go, wow, is this real? Like, you know.
It's just kind of ridiculous. I'm like I do a talk show, I do a live stream, and it's like we're passing a resolution in the Senate condemning this live streamer. I'm like, don't you have other stuff to do?
Well,
like,
don't they know? Well, I mean, I actually wish you would. Please give. I mean, God, Hillary came out and called me the dark heart. We got like 10 million viewers extra the next day. Like, well, don't they understand the Streisand effect?
Yeah, and even a lot of the pro-Israel people said, what are you doing? You're just giving it more attention. You got to stop this. And it's like, yeah, it's great for ratings. But I'm like, it just seems kind of ridiculous.
Remember,
like,
there's multiple videos of him serving raw hamburgers.
Oh, who, Schumer?
Yeah, he goes, here. He goes, I've never had a backyard, but my daughter's wife has a backyard. Here's your hamburger. And it's a raw red patty with unmelted cheese he's putting on a bun. So, I mean, maybe he is like a Martian. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't know how to. I mean, you haven't seen this?
No, I've never seen that one.
Serving raw hamburgers.
Ugh. Oh, man. Yeah.
And there's video of him serving them.
They're trying to role play as Americans. That's what happens.
Well, I mean, how do you not know how to cook a damn hamburger?
They never done it before. Plus, that's not kosher. Cheese on a burger, that's not kosher. Maybe that's why. He's got it messed up there.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this anymore. Oh, my God. We're in so much trouble. I mean, it just makes my head spin. Charles in Oregon, you're there with Nick Fuentes. Go ahead, Charles.
Good morning, Austin. Nick Fuentes, great show on the Sam Hyde Show. Shout out to the producers at InfoWars. Yeah, I've been on the hold for about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. This is MK Ultra. Love it. Ultra Life Force. Bovine colostrum and the methylene blue. Make sure you do a quick AI search and you it's not stuff to be messed with. Check with your health physician. Check YouTube before mixing it with anything else.
Yeah, folks, we're not selling BS. That's a good point. Your question or comment? Go ahead.
So I'm just really frustrated with all the infighting. I think Jones is spot on. We need to pull together and at least meet halfway. We need to all meet halfway. I love Candace. I love Laura Loomer. Nick Fuentes, I just got turned on to him. He's awesome. I loved him on that Sam Hyde show. Mark Dice, MTG, all these big names. I wish we could just meet halfway because I know the establishment loves the fact that this infighting is going on. I understand the issues with the Israel.
Yeah, but
and
see,
all
we're
that,
not doing infighting. You're bringing it up. But it gets ratings, so people do it. You know, I've had Laura Loomer trying to drag me into her stuff lately, and I'm just like, and you got MTG, you know, who's a really nice lady, Trump attacking her. That was so stupid. But, yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, what about the infighting, Nick?
Yeah, I think that wherever possible, we should try to unite. And at the minimum, we should all talk and engage with each other. But the problem is there are people on the right that want to cancel. And that's the difference. It's like you and I have had our disagreements and we agree on a lot and we talk about it and we're civil and we're polite and we're pointing in the same direction and we're always better off after the conversation. And that's true with a lot of people. But then you got these other people on the right like Levin and they're like, no, you can't talk to this guy. They tried to cancel Tucker. They canceled Kevin Roberts for defending Tucker for having me on the show. It's like the degrees of separation are crazy. So
now he wants Levin, like I said in an article, he wants college kids basically thrown out of their college group or banned because they dared watch the Tucker interview with me. Like,
yeah, college kids went to a dinner with the guy that talked to Nick in a show and didn't push back. Like, what are we doing with that? So I think that the Big Ten needs to be big. And I've never had any problem tolerating people that I disagree with. They always try to cancel me. And I know it's the same with you. You talk to everybody and anybody. So do I. It's the other side that says, no, don't watch InfoWars. Don't watch Fuentes. That you can't talk to these guys. They're the real problem. So I in some sense, I'm in agreement. I don't like the infighting, but
let's
we got to differentiate.
Joe. They're trying to ban ADF. They've killed 30 of their people in the last few months. Alternative Deutschland Party, or is it ADF? Or they, But talking about Germany, so that would be the alternative Deutschland party. Go ahead, Joe in Florida.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex. This is at Joe Bender from Florida on X. The AFD, I've been concerned about this for a while and been meaning to talk to you about it. The alternative for Deutschland is the party.
Yeah, they just put it wrong on the screen. I figured that was what it was. AFD, go ahead.
Right on. Well, I heard about it first on Fox Radio one day when I was driving, and they said, oh, Elon Musk is supporting this far-right party. So I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, they've called MAGA far-right, not so much Fox saying that, but then they call Nazis, on the other hand, far-right when they're actually socialist. So I wanted to see what it was. So I went on their website directly to the source, and they have this thing called the Manifesto for Germany. And on page 5 of their Manifesto for Germany, they say they like social market economics and direct democracy.
Yeah, I mean, AFD is pretty libertarian. So what's your question or comment?
Well, my point is that I want to make is that I think that they're kind of getting grouped in with conservatives when they say they like social market economics, which is basically a planned economy. And that's not conservative at all. And then they say they want direct democracy. I don't know what the answer is for Germany or what the solution is, but, and I don't want anything bad to happen to their members. Like they, you know, you're mentioning that violence had been, targeted by violence. But, I just think people need to be careful about who they,
all right, I hear you. What about Europe in general? What do you think of AFD, Nick Fuentes?
Well, AFD has been drifting a little bit to the left. And you're right, there's a very strong libertarian faction, which is why I'm a little confused about the question. But they've been drifting very libertarian and very, in some ways pro-Israel. But overall, I think the priority in Germany is get the migrants out. Get the migrants out, get rid of the hate speech laws. It's basically like the German state has no identity. They have their raison d'etre, the reason for their country, they say, is to like affirm the Holocaust in Israel. It's insane.
So what's your prediction for Europe? Is it salvageable?
I don't know. Europe is really spiritually very dead. You know, the whole continent has apostatized. They're not Christian and there's no energy. They're not having kids. They don't take pride. I will say there's a lot of positive signs though. Italy has a right wing party. AFD is surging. They're now the highest polling party in Germany. In France, you got the national rally coming back. Macron has a 13% approval rating. So politically, I'm a little bit optimistic, but they got a lot of problems, man. And they're throwing people in jail for being right wing. So it could go either way. It's very difficult to say right now, but things seem to be going pretty well over there. Seems to be a big right wing populist revival, maybe more potent than it has been in the past 10 years.
We only got a few minutes left. What are you doing in your show tonight?
It's been a little bit of a slow week, I got to be honest. I don't know if you feel that way, but not too much happening. I'll probably cover Venezuela tonight, and I might cover the statement on Somalia by Trump. Do a little of the stuff we did here on the show today. I'll recap it. But it's been a little slow past few weeks. Can't lie.
I don't know. You guys say a slow news day. My goodness, there is so much to cover, but I overall hear what you're saying. Looking at the midterms coming up, who knows what's going to happen, but historically the party out of power wins. 2028, that's just right around the corner. We're just like 2 years away from that starting up or less. Who else do you see other than Vance, who obviously is the main guy they're going to push with Rubio as his VP? Who would you support as a Republican?
Right now, I can't see anybody that I like. When people talk about Thomas Massie, I don't think he's running, and I don't know that I even would. I think he's too pro-immigration, to be honest. I know he's good about some issues. And people talked about Marjorie. I really did like her statement that she put out the other day attacking Republican men and telling them, make your own dinner. I really didn't like that. So there's not a whole lot. I mean, our options looks like Vance, Rubio, DeSantis, Kristi Noem, maybe some governor somewhere. I'm really looking forward for a dark horse. I'm looking for somebody that maybe we're not aware of, maybe someone that's not on our radar, but I'm looking for like a young guy who's going to be far right, who's going to kind of tap into the Trump style and the Trump messaging from 16. But of course, with the topical stuff from this decade, I'm looking for somebody like that to come around, maybe that we haven't heard of. In the same way that when Trump came around in 15, nobody anticipated that he would dominate the race like he did. I'm looking for a figure like that, and I don't know if one will arrive.
Well, you can't run for president for 9 years, but are you going to run for president?
I don't know. Everyone's always asking me that. I don't think I'm cut out for politics. I'm not disciplined enough.
You're going to have the Jones Fuentes ticket.
I would run. Hey, you run as president. I'll be your vice president. How's that?
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be quite the headline. So in closing, at least say gut level, your prognosis for the West and the world, do we have a nuclear war in the next few years? Do we have a global depression? I mean, just big picture, how are you feeling about humanity right now? Because, look, the fact that, you know, nobody knew about the globalists 30 years ago, now a lot of people do. Nobody knew about America first, now they do. I mean, I've seen us gaining so much traction. We're not there yet, but we're moving so quickly. I'm positive overall.
I'm positive, too. That being said, I'm positive long-term, but short-term, I think we're headed for a cataclysm. It's unavoidable. I think between the AI-induced job losses, the debt bomb that we're sitting on, the emerging World War III, Taiwan in 27 maybe, the political disorder. I think in the short term, we're headed for a lot of problems, but I think that kind of situation tends to create a rebirth. And so if I were to kind of map it out, I would say long term we win, but I think we're going to undergo a lot of tumult and trial and difficulty in the very short term, because just no getting around it. There's a true revolution going on in the world in every domain. And that always brings with it instability and disruption.
I mean, it's the fourth turn. It's great waiting. So in closing, what do you think it's like for the left and the ADL and all the control groups that had us under a spell, not you and I, but other people, total spell political correctness. When they said jump, we say how high. And now the more they intimidate, they see it all dissipating. What must it be like in their minds to see their intimidation, their bullying, their mind control ended? And then how do they respond to that?
Well, they're so defeated. I love watching these podcasts that they do, because they all still do. They all got a Substack. They all got all these journalists on the far right beat that would cover us. They all have a Substack and they are just defeated. They do a small podcast for 1,000 viewers and they infinitely complain about the stuff we're saying, the things, you know, the dynamics of the right wing. And so it's very delicious because for years, these people were on us and the bullying, they relished in the power they held to censor, to ruin lives. And they were like tattletales. They were like that character in Recess. They had like their little notepad they were going to run to the principal. Oh, Nick Fuentes said he's a white nationalist. Uh-oh, guess you lost your Twitter. And now they got nothing. So I'm very pleased with it, but at the same time, we can't make the mistake that they did. We can't have hubris. We can't get too carried away. We got to stay dialed in.
No, I agree. And we don't want to censor them because no one's listening to them. Try to just stop attacking late night comics for no viewers. We're not calling for censors. We've won the intellectual debate, so we don't need to censor them. Plus, we don't want to. Let's be clear.
I do think we should punish them, though. I think they should be punished economically. They should be made non-viable because if they got power back, they would use it against us with a vengeance. And so that's why, like when Charlie Kirk died, everybody said, no, we have to support free speech. I disagree. I support free speech in the law, but just like they did to us, I loved it when people were calling employers and getting people fired, people making death threats, should have been getting arrested. When we have the power, we have to use it against their shock troops and make their businesses economically non-viable. These like newspapers are being shut down. I love it. I love seeing Vice go out of business. I love seeing BuzzFeed News go out of business. We need to replicate that. And people should not be shy about that. It's not like we're going to give them a right to play in the game. If they win the game, they're going to kill us and our kids. They're going to trans our kids, and they're going to murder our ancestors.
They've given us no quarter, so they don't get quarter. Nick J. Fuentes on X and Rumble. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Another great interview. All right, we're out of time. Brianna Morello is going to host the War Room because Harrison Smith hosted for her today when she was at the Pentagon news briefing. And she'll be hosting from D.C. for the Rumble Studios coming up. But, hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at thealexjonesshow.com, and we have the 12 days of Christmas sale. We have a bunch of sales in the next 12 days, but the next five, it is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. It's running for just 4 days until Friday evening, so I guess 3.5. So take advantage of that right now. Get the ultramethylene blue, get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the bovine colostrum. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support. But whatever you do, share the articles, share the videos on Rumble, on InfoWars, on X. You are the Paul Revere's. Thank you so much. Great First Amendment 2 hours we just had. Great 4-hour transmission. Brian Morello, host of The War Room, comes up now. You'll find those feeds at InfoWars.com/show. And on the Real Alex Jones feed, look for the InfoWars feed. This is about to re-loop the 4 hours. The show belongs to you. All the clips belong to you, so share them.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.